Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 157, and we have a special PSA from Josh, since you wanted to do it.
I put you
on. Way to put you on the spot.
If you've seen Dave, please let him know that you're still a space
We love him, and please come home.
If anyone has reason to believe that Colin is responsible for Dave being missing,
which we all do,
please send Adam a message on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
So we've been waiting about a half hour for Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
And then
Colin wants to go home, man.
And then it like he never showed up. So then I'm like, well, we should get started. And then Josh is like, well, what if he's hurt? What if he's on this in a ditch?
And you were like, acting very suspicious.
And then Colin was like, I doubt that's what happened. So we're just like, yeah.
He's fine.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's not out on the road.
You remember that noise we kept hearing that we thought it was the nail place? It's in the basement.
Oh, that was Dave scratching on the
ceiling. That was Dave. It's time for the podcast.
He finally crawled up on top of the boxes and he... Man.
Children, you don't understand.
Chewed through his ankle.
If we don't find Dave, there will be no Christmas next year. You're the Grinch.
Nobody's going to understand.
You are the Grinch, Colin.
For those who don't know Dave Santa.
They know that. That was the whole podcast for that episode.
He just said people don't
You're
know
assuming
you're
everybody's about. Listening to all the podcasts? You're
assuming
anybody's listening
to any
that,
of these? We're trying.
Okay.
This is your podcast. You have zero confidence
Mr.
in it.
Negative?
Dave, your books are
lonely. Why are we here exactly now?
You mean
getting
like
all existential now, man?
Yeah, well, I guess you might as well say your line.
No, why are we here? Like here.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
not Dave, Josh,
Pat,
Adam. Maybe I don't know. Nobody's listening, so we should just go home.
Who will be missing next week?
Yes. Put your
weeks from now. If you don't hear from any of us,
yes.
It was all Colin.
Something's happened.
Colin's the only one talking.
I've killed them all.
That's why he was inviting new podcasters last week.
Well, it's true, because I need to replace you. Oh, I mean...
you know, we just chase them off anyway, though.
What, the new ones? We scare them off. We're intimidating.
Happens,
we're an intimidating group.
Once in a while, somebody sticks that.
They're like, oh, he's even worse to listen to in person. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's worse than just listening in purpose.
People told me that. That's why I started coming, so I could find out for myself.
Okay. But I will not be here 2 weeks from now, so... don't worry if I'm not here.
Are you predicting your own demise?
Yeah, I am. No, because I'm going
to
be...
he has someone to kidnap.
Yeah. I've got to get rid of that body somehow.
Why somebody become missing?
No, I'll be actually on an airplane during the podcast.
To pay for Colin's accident, he's going into human trafficking.
Which Dave will probably really be missing, and then the police will be like, we have evidence here that you buried a body and all this stuff.
No, but it's the Comics Pro annual meeting. I'll be on my way to Portland.
What a name drop. Jeez.
What? That's where I'm going.
Big fancy conference.
I didn't name drop yet, but I'll be talking
with
Mr. Bendis.
I knew you were going to
name drop. And Brian Wood, and... there's a bunch of people going to be there. Jeff Darrow.
They're going to see you and say, we've heard your podcast, jerk.
Fred Flintstone.
Again, you're assuming. Listen,
George Jetson.
But no, it's just our big annual meeting. So that's wrong.
Mr. Spacely.
I'll be out there.
Yogi Bear. It's just like it's been.
We went off the rails really,
so
really early.
I know. So if you, well, Adam's half drunk. So.
We know you're mad about Cogswell Collins. But...
So, if you have any questions you want me to ask any of the publishers, fire them in. And nothing like story related, but you know.
Okay.
Nothing super jerky.
Yeah.
So it can't be Marvel. What the hell?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're.
Can you thank Bendis for us?
Sure. For leaving X-Men. So, but that's where I'll be having fun.
X-Men. I don't know.
Sitting in the boom RV.
That's where you get drunk at.
That's exactly
That's right.
That's why
Oh, look at this silence face all of a sudden.
And then they send him an eraser in the mail.
Pink.
What?
They sent you
Oh, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Well, no, but Valley just sent me two box cutters.
Boom was what?
And I was very thankful that they didn't hand them to me at the conference, which would have been
Why
kind of a bad thing.
Putting
that in my carry-on luggage, yeah. So I thanked them for shipping
them. It's a weird gift.
It was, but it says Ninjak on it. So it was kind of, it was very clever.
I bet,
the letter
I bet Dave
was
Dave really got used to those, didn't he?
Thanks, I know just what to do with these.
Pat, do you have any news?
That's news.
Well, we got the first one. You know, you already spoiled it. That Bendis is leaving X-Men.
Didn't even give me a chance to do the song.
We don't want you to do the song.
You figured that one out?
Pat's news.
I kind of wanted to hear the song.
Do it.
Okay, do it.
It's too late. I just did it.
Okay, so we lost him. But yeah, Bendis is leaving X-Men in May.
We just talked about that.
But he's re-signing a contract with Marvel.
Yeah. Right, which raises the question. Okay, yeah. He's already done Avengers. He's already done Daredevil. He's already done X-Books. He's done, the Ultimate.
He's on Guardians.
He's on, so what's left? Thor? Events. Iron Man?
Doctor
Cap?
Strange.
Oh, he did Moon Knight.
That's kind of a step back from Avengers and X-Men.
Maybe not. If that's going to be one of the big Marvel movies, they're bringing him in to...
It's like why we need a third Inhuman book.
Because
they signed Charles Soule to an exclusive contract.
I just checked. I sold 7 copies of the last Inhuman book.
Maybe
can't wait to triple my sales on that.
Oh, maybe he's going on a Star Wars book. Boba Fett.
That would be different.
Nah, he'd pick a... Lando.
That'd be a cool book. What's the ant's name?
Ant Brew. The Ant Brew book.
It's all about blue milk.
Owen and Brew.
Ant Brew went to go milk a bantha.
The early years.
Yeah. That's what we were holding out for.
Yeah. So, yeah, that just what struck me odd. And it was funny how quickly right after, and he signed an exclusive deal. I'm like, okay. But yeah, that was just the first
Thank
thing
God,
I thought
keep
of.
Him, keep him out of the
or maybe
public.
Put him on Spider-Man, regular Spider-Man, because he wants to. I figured it out.
Miles
is going to be the regular Spider-Man, because they mentioned one of the rumors
was definitely he'll do that.
Toppings are going to stay,
but he's leaving that book anyway, so it's not like he's.
But one of the rumors was that Peter was going to be lost in
space,
and Spider-Gwen was going to be taking over the book. So maybe then when the worlds collide, Peter's gone. Replaced with...
Well, you've just made it easy for me to drop Spider-Man.
What?
They just got Peter back.
Yeah,
right,
I don't want that.
No, they're going to replace him with Miles, because Miles is a
better...
You
know what? He's probably right.
He probably
is. Because this is what Marvel will do to me. They'll take away the last book that I hold on to.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Other things. That's the one I'm going to pull, because that's what they'll do.
You shouldn't be buying it anyways. Nothing that's happening around matters. They're fighting for something that's not going to...
Yeah, right? That's what I've been saying. Everything, all this is in vain because all the universes
You're
are
fighting to save
together.
All these Spider-Men. And
they're
only
like,
two of you are going to survive.
They're all dead. All of them.
Two will survive.
Yeah.
Peter and Miles.
But what about this Inheritor Earth? Will it be destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean the web is destroyed?
Well, it looks like everything's destroyed except
but
for...
But doesn't the web hold together?
Is that how it is? Everything's
that's what
destroyed?
I thought, yeah.
So if that Earth is destroyed because it's holding the web...
Then the universe goes kaput.
No, just the spiders go kaput.
No, everything's held together.
I already read the end.
The webs, I know you told me about it.
What? You read the end already?
Mm-hmm. Wait, you won't believe what happened.
Did it come out today?
Yes.
No.
Next week.
They introduce Scuba Head.
How did you get this early?
It's Aunt May.
You order several $1,000 worth of books, you get 3 view copies.
I do that.
Oh, wow.
Ms. Lion is Scuba Head.
Yeah, I said, I do that too every year, so... You do it every week, though. That's a little different.
I don't care if Dave shows up. I mean, we got his chair out and everything, and he's just blowing us off.
That's a jerky thing.
He could at least...
That's something you would say if you killed someone. Yeah.
Dave hasn't bought his books yet. No.
You know, you
could
just leave
a
lawyer.
I'm putting him
you
back on the shelf if he treats me this way.
Ever since he got screwed by the insurance company. He's changed. This is how villains
podcast?
Are created.
That is. I absolutely believe that insurance companies create villains.
That's all talk.
Lex Luthor exists.
I'm working on my...
Hitler existed because of the insurance company.
Okay.
I thought you were saying Hitler existed. I'm like, yes, he did.
No,
okay.
I'm getting that.
Oh, okay. You had a very pregnant...
Bobby Hitler, your character on the other end, I don't think he exists.
I stand by my Bobby Hitler.
So anyway, moving on. Now.
You stand by Bobby Hitler?
No, I'm just saying, my creating of the
Colin
character of Bobby Hitler.
Bobby Hitler. No,
and
I don't know where Bobby Hitler stood on his politics.
Well, he was supposed to be the inverse of Adolf Hitler.
No,
so
he was just a younger brother, that's
so
all.
So he was like a communist.
He wasn't an artist.
Neither was Hitler, that's why he ended up being Hitler. If he was an artist, he would have went to art school and wouldn't have taken over Germany. Didn't you ever read a history book?
I mean, he was a little bit both. Sometimes you gotta take your nose out of the comic books and read regular books.
He did have some art.
Anyway, Spider-Man 2099 is canceled too.
Yeah, what's up with that? All these books should be canceled.
Well, it almost hit double digits, so.
Almost.
Did it have 3 digits on the cover?
Nope, I guarantee it did.
Speaking of which, so yes. X-Men is going to be jumping to
600, that's correct.
Yes.
Just for that.
Yep, we just kind of missed those 500 issues, but yeah.
Why does Marvel keep doing, like,
is it only for
to make
that,
it
though?
Real I easy get, to organize your comics.
I yes. get that they want to showcase the history of the book, but then don't drop the numbering down to 1 every...
Well, no, you have to remember, Marvel likes ones. Big round numbers and 1s. Everything in between
doesn't
is
matter.
Crap.
It's 616.
But yeah, that's all they care about are big round numbers. And, I mean, look, Spider-Man hit 700, fakely, you know, didn't really hit 700, but it hit 700, and then came back with a number 1. But as soon as, Superior went 33, so as soon as Spider-Man gets to 67, provided it doesn't get rebooted this summer, it'll jump to 800.
Deadpool goes back to 250.
250, that's right.
Kill him
but
off.
Didn't we already have 900? So I'm really confused on that one.
I don't know.
And then it counted backwards? Yeah, that was...
I don't like food. Pizza metaphors really screwed me up. All I hear about pizza metaphors anymore. Pizza's this, toppings that, they're all falling off all over the place, and we'll never know what Marvel is.
I don't know.
Okay. You're talking about what
900
they're doing.
Deadpool.
I don't think if you took two pizzas and smashed them together, I don't think the toppings would fall off anyway. No, you just have a
it depends on what kind of topping, you know, if it was loosely placed or if they were baked in. You know, like sometimes the pepperonis are really hard to get
off.
Yeah, if
it was a lousy
pizza
maybe, but if it's really like the cheese is
an anchovy isn't going to just flop off.
What kind of pizza are you talking about?
I mean, I'm just thinking of pizza with lots of toppings. That's all.
Come on. Anchovies. Come on, that's not a real topping.
It's a Marvel pizza. It's a fish. Who knows? Oh, it's got everything.
It's a Mariner. The one anchovy on there.
Okay, let's just move on.
Pat's news has really gotten me real.
Yeah, I know. It has.
Way to go, Adam.
Pat's news is really bossing us around. Did you hear that?
It's kind of sassy today.
Yeah. The Daredevil trailer dropped.
That was good. I like that.
Yeah.
Definitely a different tone than the other shows.
I'm getting the feeling that these Netflix shows are not as
family friendly. Yeah.
Which is good. I think that's...
Mm-hmm.
And also, I kind of find it interesting that... Because there was another announcement for casting for Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Carrie Ann Moss.
I find it kind of interesting that the Netflix shows are getting bigger A-list. Names than the big ABC show.
See, bigger than cheese? Come on.
Bigger
Netflix
than cheese.
Netflix was able to get Kevin Spacey for a show, so.
Yeah.
To star, though. Not
yeah,
to
but they did, you know, they did get Dum Dum Dugan on
Carter.
Agent Carter last night, so.
Well, Agent Carter is a superior show to S.H.I.E.L.D. in every way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
There's not much that isn't superior to S.H.I.E.L.D., but.
I mean, even, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. got
I'm
better
sorry,
this
Tony,
year.
That Tony Stark looks nothing like the guy, Howard. The old Tony Stark, or Howard Stark. Stark.
Yeah. Yes.
True, but. Unless they're going to show them side by side, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
yeah. Old Tony Stark
like
looks like Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side.
If they were being smashed in the same pizza, then
the toppings are flying and anchovies.
Hey, man, that's Marvel's own analogy.
I know.
So.
That's why I'm
so dumb. You can't.
So I'm going to ask at the meeting. I'm going to say, "Where's our pizza?" So.
Yeah.
Where's this pizza?
I
and I want actual
that.
Toppings on it, not a bunch of toppings.
I double dog dare you to ask that at the meeting.
But, like, we'll give you the ultimate
and have
pizza.
Your phone recording at the same time.
That's right.
We'll give you the ultimate pizza.
So, it's Mr. Gabriel.
A bunch of toppings on the floor.
Are we all getting are we getting pizza? Should we have pizza parties?
That'd be great.
For the Secret
for
Wars
the
party?
That'd be great if you're at your Marvel luncheon, they serve, like...
Luncheon.
Two, like,
yeah.
personal pizzas,
for,
like smashed
minutes.
Together to each person. Enjoy your Secret Wars.
Enjoy your Secret Wars.
Here's your Secret Wars.
Welcome to
here's
Battle
your
World.
Here's Secret Wars.
Look, it's Battle World.
Food fight. I don't know.
Do you have all the Battle World news? Or do I have to look it up quickly?
You can look it up.
No, I'm wondering if he had it. Okay.
No, I didn't. They announced the roster for the Titan show that they were going to do on TNT. It was Robin, Raven, Starfire, Hawk and Dove, and Oracle, but it's not Oracle. It's Barbara Gordon, but she won't be called Oracle. She'll be crippled. She'll be a hacker.
But they're not going to give her the
crippled.
Oracle?
How about handicapped?
Yeah.
What's wrong with cripple?
Around here?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with the word cripple.
I think they consider that an offensive term. The cripple,
whatever.
Now watch, all these handicapped people are going to come in.
No, they won't.
Next podcast.
No, they won't, because Colin doesn't have a ramp, so they can't get in.
Yeah, he's got a ramp.
Yeah, at the end of the sidewalk.
At the end of the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
You just insulted him twice.
No.
And now they're going to come up the ramp.
No,
like,
I was bringing...
Thank God he told us about the ramp.
I'm just bringing up the point that Colin's not ADA compliant.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Oh, and he measures the shelving.
He actually does have some wide aisles there. Yeah. You're a very ADA-friendly store.
Kind of have to be.
Yeah.
It's a choice. He doesn't mess with them.
And then, so while you're looking up the Battle World stuff, the costume for the Atom was revealed.
He's playing Angry Birds.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that costume.
For a TV show, I kind of get it, but it looks like hockey pads.
Like, I get it, but I think just seeing, it's one of those things where when you just see a promo still, it doesn't look the same as it's going to look when it's in the show. And that's what I'm not sure if I love.
It's not spandex, though, which I think makes more sense.
It can't be. We're beyond the age of spandex, I think.
Whose outfit are you talking about?
Armor and leather now.
Adam.
Not you, not you,
not,
Adam.
Not A-D-A-M. No,
I
know. A-T-O-M.
I had a feeling it wasn't me.
Your costume's on your head.
Absolutely no one wants to see you in spandex.
Yeah. I don't want to wear spandex either.
I mean, people have a fetish for anything out there, but we don't want to.
Yes.
It was different.
Yeah.
It's a different look. But I don't know.
The only thing I didn't
He's
like
had
was
really
the,
weird
like,
looks in comics for
a
years.
A on his chest.
Yeah. Seems like
it
he's
wasn't
Captain
an,
America.
It wasn't like a blatant A, but it clearly
yeah,
looked
it
like
was,
an A.
Yeah, yeah. I did notice that.
Did you guys talk about last week the Jimmy Olsen casting?
No.
No, we didn't talk
no,
about
because that came out, I thought, after.
I think that was
Yeah,
after
that was
labor.
Later.
Okay.
And I didn't take the time to find out if that
a lot of people are having a problem with it, but I'm not really that irritated about Jimmy
What part
Olsen.
Are they having a problem with? The fact that it's...
You know what? Deep down, I wonder, but...
Well, because here's the thing. Like, I don't have a problem with them casting someone who's a different race.
I don't... A lot of people, I think it's not that. It's that they think he's a little too attractive
well, did you
as
see,
a character.
Did you see
the Jimmy
the casting
Olsen
call
should be nerdier and
mm-hmm.
white.
The casting call for it says they want an attractive alpha male type.
Yeah.
That's not Jimmy
that's
Olsen.
Not Jimmy, yeah.
Like I don't
I
care,
think
I don't care if you want to cast someone isn't the redhead freckled white kid.
Yeah.
That's fine. Change his race, whatever. But make him be Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. And
otherwise,
I think,
why give him that name?
I think people like Jimmy Olsen as well because he's one of the relatable people. Well,
he's your everyman.
Yeah,
he's your
and,
yeah, your kind of
that book.
Guide
yeah.
to Superman.
Yeah, and I think
like
they need to change
They're
that.
Not making him Jimmy Olsen. He's Jimmy Olsen in name only.
No, but...
And I don't know why they're doing it in that way anyways, because, like, even if you look at... Like, Arrow, I think, sometimes screws it up. But with Flash, I think it makes sense who they picked for Flash, because I
yeah.
think he's a very kind of... Very skinny, white, nerdy
He's nerdy
guy.
Without
yeah.
being that social outcast.
Yeah, too nerdy.
He's not Peter Parker nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
well,
he
are we talking about real Peter Parker?
Yeah, real Peter Parker, not
Amazing
what they came
Spider-Man
up with that. Yeah, no.
Movies.
He's not that, what's that guy, a kid on Family Guy, the Jewish kid on Family Guy? He's not him.
Yeah.
as the Flash.
Yeah.
But.
No, the Flash is.
I think Flash chose their casting.
For the people
really
that
well.
Are actual, you know, characters from the comics, they picked people that accurately.
I think, I do have a problem with Arrow's casting sometimes. I think Arrow cast. Very they
CW.
Don't, very CW-ish. But,
they
like,
do.
I didn't understand Arsenal. Like, Arsenal, they picked an Abercrombie model
yeah.
for him. And it's just like...
Well, and he also does
but,
parkour
I mean,
he
doesn't
every
necessarily
time he tries
have
to fight.
Oh, God. He tries something. I don't
but
know
it's,
what it
it's
is.
Still not, like, a huge departure from
yeah.
the character in the comics. Whereas the Jimmy
yeah.
Olsen thing, it's...
It's totally
yeah. There's
off,
nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing making him even similar.
I just don't see...
Yeah.
The thing about Roy that I don't understand is that he's very... he doesn't fit the persona of, like, who he is. Like, he doesn't fit, like, this kid who was living off the streets, basically. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah. He doesn't fit that. He's just too... He looks like he's been mm-hmm. privileged throughout life, yeah. You know? And it just doesn't work for his character. Now, when it comes to... what's his name? Who plays Arrow?
Stephen Amell.
Yeah. He fits that character very mm-hmm. well.
Yeah,
and I think he enjoys playing the character.
He definitely
too.
Does.
You can
yeah.
totally
you can
see that.
In interviews.
And I think Grant Gustin, who plays Flash, I think he is kind of following his lead in a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's enjoying the character. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was looking him up a little bit after from doing this to see what he's been in before. And I knew what he's been in. And he does a lot more than just that. He sings as well, which I didn't know about.
He was in Glee.
He was in Glee, yeah. But he's they were mentioning on that he was actually bullied as in high school for
oh really
for he was bullied in high school about being gay when he wasn't gay. That's what his thing. So he's really against stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's a fan of Superman, which is really interesting. Which I was like, that's different. So he was kind of already a DC person that he kind of liked DC characters already. But if he follows that lead, I think the show will work better. Because I think Amell has done a lot of good marketing for himself.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
For this character. I don't know. The whole show has been really good. I haven't watched the most recent episodes. I haven't been able to catch them.
Yeah, I think Flash, the Flash casting, when they cast those characters, they learn from their mistakes
with
Arrow a little bit. Because... definitely feels more true to everything, and they don't have that, like you said, that CW feel to them.
Well,
but it's not everybody on that show that I think, because again, I you know, Stephen Amell obviously was very good. Manu Bennett, who played Deathstroke, I thought
was
good. Really good.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people have had. I know Kyle, who comes into this story, he had a big problem with him who played Deathstroke. Yeah.
Hmm.
He just didn't remind him of Deathstroke, which I can see in a way of some of it. That's just like he's a little shorter of a guy. You always think of Deathstroke as being taller or leaner. He was more built.
But yeah,
he's
more muscular, yeah.
And it didn't really bother me too much, though, because Deathstroke is one of those characters that I don't necessarily look at the Slade Wilson part. It's the mask, and that's about...
Yeah, like stuff like that. If the character's the wrong height, I mean, unless the character is supposed to be some giant, then...
Like Wolverine being 6'4"? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, that stuff doesn't normally bother me.
Yeah.
If they still portray the character
accurately.
Yeah,
I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
I know Kyle wasn't a total fan of that character. I don't remember his exact reasoning for why. But I can see some things about why with him. Malcolm Merlyn, I think they chose a good character, but Malcolm Merlyn isn't a real character. Merlyn is, but Malcolm Merlyn is the total creation of their selves. But I don't know.
I even like who the guy that they cast for Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, I really like who they cast for Captain Cold. I watched that episode that you guys were talking about the other day, and you guys mentioned a lot too, and I have to agree, it was very I can't say I didn't like it though, but it was very cheesy.
I liked it, but some parts were still a little bit too
when he was
over
just
the top.
Like he kept using it, was he was this close to using puns, like but like
chill out.
it just made, I don't know, the whole episode was very felt like a comic book, and
it
I
did.
Just loved it.
But
because
that's
I was
good.
Just like,
yeah,
this doesn't even feel like Arrow. This feels like something totally different. I always compare this to Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. I think there's a lot of
the second
a lot of things from that. Well, it doesn't really matter. It's his kind of feel to it. It feels like it. It flows like a comic. It moves like a characters are. You know, they're kind of tragic.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of. I don't know, a lot of similarities that it actually feels like a moving comic.
I think the biggest issue I had with that episode, and it's something that they have to, you know, find how to do better, is I never felt that, you know, Cold and Heatwave were a true threat to Flash.
Yeah.
Like, I never felt that they had any sort of chance or that he would have any trouble stopping them. They portrayed that he did have trouble, but... As I'm watching, I'm like, how would he have any trouble whatsoever stopping these guys? If they weren't doing anything to make it seem
and they
like,
were never on the same page.
Yeah. Now, I think...
But maybe
they'll
get there. Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, and that's fine, but then Flash shouldn't have had trouble stopping them, though. If they're trying to show them develop to get better, then they should have, you know, gone down pretty easy in that episode, and that's not how it went down. But
the Pied Piper stuff was good.
Yeah. That was good. I think the villain in this week, and I won't say anything since you haven't watched it yet.
I haven't finished it, yeah.
I think that they did a good job of showing how, you know, she was kind of a
She was a tragic character, though, you know, because, you know, without getting into too much, it was
She was a tragic character, and they accurately showed how she could give Flash run for his money, even though he has a super speed, but she could still, you know, combat him. It was good. It was a good episode.
And I did love the end scene.
That's what I've heard. The end scene was really good.
The end scene was really good, and it was dark, and I think it was intentional dark, which wasn't bad, but
I was worried it was going to get cheesy once they decided to show that character, but it was really a good, like, creepy scene. So,
well, Susan, it was funny, because as soon as I saw him walking, I go, I'll bet you that character's down there, and then you see the writing on the wall, I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
That show, even more than Arrow, has had a few nerd out moments for me.
Yeah, it has.
When Firestorm showed up, and then...
Because that show feels more like a comic book come to life than Arrow does.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Oh, and we got, in that episode, you guys probably talked about it last week, but we had, not Ronnie Raymond, but the other one. What's his name?
Jason Roush.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't get is why they changed up who Raymond merges with.
He was with Dr. Stein before.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that?
What?
He didn't drag it across the table.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah,
for a second.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were going to slap Pat for a second.
Like, we talked about Dr. Stein.
No. Josh said, listening to last week's episode, that every time we moved the microphone, it made a sound. So Pat just bumped the wire and it moved the microphone. That's why I was yelling.
And Colin raised his hand to Pat.
I did.
He raised his fist.
I did not.
Like, I will slap you, Pat. That's what he said.
He's still high on his adrenaline rush after getting rid of Dave.
Do you want to see where Dave is? I'll show you. You'll be the first to find him.
Then he drives you to his house. He's like, there's Dave. Are you happy now? He's not dead.
So he was with Stein first?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He was in it. And the other guy existed, I think, at some
point. Was new. That was all New 52, wasn't it?
What, Stein?
Well, no, I didn't read the Fury of Firestorm when he came on. So
no, he's been in it before.
Was he? Okay.
When he dies, what was? Do you remember? Was that Infinite Crisis when?
Identity Crisis.
Was it Identity Crisis when Jason dies?
No.
Or is it Ronnie who dies?
Ronnie dies in
Identity
Crisis, and then Jason is then born.
Yeah, he explodes.
Yeah.
That's right.
He gets stabbed with the Shadow Thief's sword, I think?
Yeah, okay. That's right. And he dies in that. And then, pre-crisis, Stein is usually merged with Firestorm.
Okay.
Or actually, you were the one asking. I don't know why I was explaining it to Pat. Pat, do you understand?
I understand.
Well, we are not getting a good rating from anybody who might be handicapped. They're going to be mad at us, Pat.
Why? We keep you around.
It does give us our bonus
token.
That's right.
That gives us... Move along.
So, anybody watch Gotham?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we don't have. What's
that for?
I don't know. I'm not loving Gotham a whole lot lately.
I am the complete opposite. I think the show came back with a bang.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what. Like, everything is happening in these last few episodes.
There's certain.
I like that Bullock has a girlfriend now.
Ooh.
And so does the Riddler.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Miss Kringle.
That's right.
Yeah.
You owe me a pencil.
But that's... Oh, that's
I mean, the
girlfriend.
Sexual innuendo there is amazing.
It's
not anymore. She's suddenly single.
Yeah. Maybe it was the Riddler who killed Dave.
I don't know. Like, I just read today that...
Why are you reading? Just watch the show. Why are you reading?
The producers of Gotham said by the end of this season, we will start to see stuff about the Joker. And it's like...
That, I think, is way too early.
I don't
want to
see that. It doesn't make sense.
Well, actually, you know what? It does. We'll get into that later.
I don't want to see the Joker. I want to see him as the Red Hood.
Yes, that's...
Maybe we will. Maybe that'll be, you know, the final
scene. They already said that the Red Hood gang will show up this season.
But even still, I don't see the Joker as being that much older than Bruce.
I think they showed that.
Did you read Batman?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's...
I think they should have casted a
if that's
an
accurate,
older Bruce Wayne.
In Batman.
I think they should
That's why I think they need a time jump.
I think
jump.
The kid is a little too young. I don't think they will.
No, but I think it's so they need a time jump at 5 years, and then you can start showing that.
Well, there's so many issues that I'm having with this. Is like, how long is the show going to go?
Right, you'll never...
Before he turns into Batman. Or are we going to see all of Batman's villains before they're supposed to show up?
I don't think you're ever going to see Batman on the show until the very end, and maybe then he'll dawn.
But that's the thing. You've got to... Unless they time jump it at the end, the show has to be on for 10...
Yeah,
12 years.
Maybe
in order
it will be.
Never put the cowl.
Yeah, you never know. The kid could suddenly start looking older, like Carl.
Carl, I don't know that he even looks older.
He looks older than he did in the first season.
He's a short kid.
You okay there, Chief? Colin's losing.
Am I
it
missing
right now.
Something here?
I said Carl, and
it's the weed.
Colin started losing it.
It's not the weed. Go ahead.
It's not the weed. He didn't be like, we don't have weed. He was more like. It's not the weed.
It's not that this time.
It's not that this time. No, the weed's good today. Anyway.
I didn't say that.
And Constantine.
That's been good.
Yeah, that's been good.
I think they're screwing it up, though.
Yeah, see, this last episode I didn't like as
starting
much.
Starting to get on my nerves.
I didn't like that
I didn't watch the
they
last
didn't
one
have
we
his
about.
Supporting cast in it at all.
Yeah. Well, and the... What was it, Ronnie or Robbie? Whatever his friend.
There's always a Ronnie or a Robbie.
I forget what it is. I thought he was an annoying character in the first episode, or in the pilot, and I didn't like him coming back.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Where did he go?
He works at that college.
Was he the guy from Lost? That was the guy who was, like, the time traveler who was, like...
He's very similar if he's not the same guy.
I haven't looked it up at all. I would not.
Every time
I
think he's
like
the same
that.
Guy, I think, no, this guy seems whinier than...
Carl Papa.
That's why I started laughing.
That's what I figured. You're just going to leave it on.
Jiggy Jar Jar, dude.
That's what I started thinking. That's why I was laughing. If you haven't seen it, just Google on YouTube Carl Papa.
Is it the full version?
Yeah. Okay. Once you get that in your head.
We can't get music for past news. We can get this.
Jiggy Jar Jar Do.
That could be your thing.
Jiggy Jar Jar Do.
Dirty, dirty, dir. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. That's why I was laughing.
And then you're saying dirty, dirty, dir. We're back to where we began with Pat a little while ago.
All right, let's talk about what we read.
Oh, there's more news.
Okay.
Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all
okay,
I got.
Wait. Okay, wait. So there's a trailer during the Super Bowl for Heroes.
Missed it.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I watched on YouTube, and I keep looking at this, and I'm saying to myself, why am I going to watch Heroes when we never got an ending to the
first show?
You
know you're going to, though. You know you're going to watch it.
I don't think I am.
You're going to say, I don't think I am.
And then we'll sit here and complain about it
and
pick it apart.
And you may not watch it that week, but someone's going to talk about it, someone else going to talk about it, and you're going to get curious.
And watch it.
And then when no one's around, you're going to watch it.
If somebody could sell
you'll feel bad about yourself
I'll
the
watch,
whole time.
I doubt I'll watch
it. But you're going to watch it.
I doubt I'll
it.
Watch Well, I didn't start watching Heroes.
Did you watch Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, but it's
then you're going to watch Heroes.
No, well, no.
If you were willing to do that, you're going to watch Heroes.
I know. I
well,
chose...
Who saw it after we all trashed it? That was you, wasn't it?
Because I had to see recently. The train wreck.
Well, so did he.
And then I watched it after.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And in all fairness, I didn't rent it. My wife brought it home.
Okay.
So. In all fairness, I didn't do it.
She brought two movies and one I'd already seen.
Did you push play on the DVD player?
No, she did.
And you sat there and watched it?
It was date night.
Did you shut it off?
I did divorce papers.
I could explain what you're supposed to do.
I get divorced, Pat. Jeez.
Jeez, Pat.
Dave's dead. You want me to get divorced? What's going on here?
What is this?
This bad podcast
karma.
Is
bad karma.
Bad karma
podcast,
right yeah. there. And then all the poor handicapped kids.
She might be listening, Pat.
He's talking about poor handicapped kids.
She already
kids
turned it off with dirty, dirty, dirty.
Dirty, dirty.
Okay, the other news, I'll keep us going, is Battleworld. 2 weeks ago. Sorry. At the announcement, they said that in the next 2 weeks there would be lots more battle or Secret Wars news. Well, there wasn't a whole lot.
Was there a Colin?
Well, there's three series of books coming. There's Battle World, there's Lost Days, and there's War Zone. And, like, the books that come out are going to be grouped into these.
Like Punisher War Zone?
I guess. I don't know.
Do I want to read any of these?
Yeah, of course. Oh. It's the event
you
of the summer.
Read them all
of them.
You want to get the whole shebang.
Is it happening at the same time as Convergence?
He's going to cry.
Shebang.
I won.
You wrote the podcast.
I hate you all.
Is it going on at the same time as Convergence?
Yes, it's starting in May.
Well, I don't know how many books out because I've already signed up to the whole deal of Convergence. Well, so
I'm going to, we're going to do a, well, I don't know if we'll do something.
I don't know if I'll do it because I don't know if I have that on.
They've already announced Ultimate End, which has the original Ultimate line
that might be
font and stuff, which is, I'm guessing, the end of the Ultimate Universe. They've done Inhumans, Adelan Rising, Charles Soule, which is going to be our third Inhumans book going on at the same time.
Third of many more, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. They really want this to work, no matter what the sales are telling them.
They want Inhumans.
We have Secret Wars Battle World.
Probably actually take off.
It would be
like a Ms. Marvel.
Battle World.
That would be great, but so far Inhuman has not.
Battle World divided by fights.
Just Secret Wars Battle World, which. You remember AVX Versus?
Yes.
It's just the fights from Battle World. They're not going to show you all the fights in Secret Wars. But if you want to see the fights, you come to Secret Wars Battle World.
Pass. Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, if you want to see... What was it? If you want to see... What was it?
Just the romance.
No, it wasn't the romance. But if you want to see Spider-Man 1602 fight Punisher 2099, this is where it'll happen. If you want to see 19 versions of Howard the Duck fight himself,
so
this is where it'll happen.
Here's where I'm confused. I thought this was just 616 and Ultimates Universe pizzas being smashed together. So
right,
why do we have
then,
all these other
but then
ones?
We have these different...
Why have toppings running and jumping on from other pizzas?
Well, because you have...
All, the ones that fall off
really
fall under a third pizza.
Is one of them a veggie pizza?
I love Brevoort talking about... This is
put
the detritus of the worlds that incurred earlier during the whole... Avengers and New Avengers run, when all those worlds were exploding and coming. Well, apparently little domains existed, and now they are what Battle World is made of. So all these non-existent worlds anymore are now...
I'm adjusting my hat. I'm sorry.
When you had the hat down like it was the Spider-Man mask.
Good golly.
I was moving it.
So that Battle World is going to be all these different domains.
So it's almost like little sections from different universes
yes.
in little domes.
Yes.
I can't see, but...
Like
no, nothing like
Is it kind of like this?
I can't see what I'm doing, so...
Then,
why do you hang out with these people?
I don't know.
They're a bunch of nerds.
And then there's Secret Wars Journal featuring Night Nurse, which is going to be like the frontline books.
About her.
I'm guessing.
Dawson?
Yes. And then there's also going to be a Master of Kung Fu book, which has me going, why? We just had a Master of Kung Fu book that
it
sold for
really
poop.
Well.
It sold a solid three copies.
Weren't you super excited about the book, though?
I was at the beginning.
Was it
I'm like,
good?
Yay.
Was it not good?
I read the first issue. That's as far as I meant. I didn't like the art. No. I didn't care for the art.
So,
did it outsell all the revolutionary stuff?
Probably.
So I don't have to get all these.
I feel
you
like
do. If well, you want to know the whole story,
I think I want
to.
No,
you
I don't,
need to get the whole shebang.
I'll read Battle World, the Versus issue. Now maybe the Ultimate. That might be interesting because this plays a big part in what's going to be happening.
The more I hear, the more I feel like they're trying so hard not to make this and call this a reboot. But
yeah,
it just
don't call
in,
it a reboot.
In their process of doing that, it. Just
if they're only doing
really
this to make it,
to make
a bad joke at DC, then I think I'm just going to give up on them completely because somebody doesn't know how to run their company.
I don't know. I have zero interest in this. And
I don't have no interest in it. I have interest in the future,
but
very much faith in what they're going to bring out because of what I've been dealing with recently.
I have interest in reading about it and hearing people tell me about it, and then afterwards, if people are saying it's all right, then buying the trade. But,
for like $100.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I came in, like, because I started reading stuff whenever New 52 came out. And then Marvel Now, I was picking up their books. And I was all on board with
might be next week.
All these books, but slowly I've just gotten very aggravated with them, and now I'm at the point where I'm not excited for this.
You're not excited about all new Marvel now?
No.
How about Quack City?
Yeah, new Quack City. You know, I haven't checked the map to see if they've added anything.
New Quack City.
Any new domains to the
map? It feels like a cash grab to me.
Then all the 90s, we've already discussed, all the 90s are part of a tiny island offshore, and that's all the 90s characters they don't know what to do with, like Darkhawk and... Who else would be there? Darkhawk, Ravage, 2099. All of the 2099.
So hopefully we'll get more news soon.
I don't like your example of the...
of what?
Of the Versus thing, the Battle World Versus.
That was... I was quoting from the...
Batman... You said Spider-Man 1602?
It was something like that.
Versus, well, he's
Punisher
dead.
Punisher 2099.
He's dead. He died in the Spider-Verse.
Not in this universe.
Here, actually, I'll find the press release. Did 1602 get a... did they get a part in Battle World?
Wasn't 1602 the pirate guys?
No, they're not pirates, but they're... Here we go.
They're all wearing pirate shirts. They're pirates.
They're wearing puffy sleeves.
Yeah, then they're pirates.
I'm sorry. If you want to see the 1602 version of Punisher fight the 2099 version of Iron Man,
that's what you said.
Muskets versus the 1990s version of the future, we can even have the same characters from different worlds fight. I'm sure readers have been dreaming of seeing a dozen different versions of Howard the Duck fight.
Whatever you want.
That's what Convergence is doing right now in a few months. It's the exact same thing that...
And
it's totally different.
No, the funny thing about Battle World is, and this Earth smashing together, it's infinite. It's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Where else could you see Captain America versus Iron Man in the same book as Howard the Duck versus Hellcow?
Where I get aggravated,
I'm not making this. This is from the editor.
I was never wanted to see that.
Actually, that's not the correct question. The correct question is, why would you want to see that?
why wouldn't you want to see that?
It's the event to end all events.
It is.
Until next summer's event.
Lies. They said announcements were going to end and they haven't.
We're still getting announcements. Kids are even going to school hearing announcements. They're still existing. We still have announcements.
I was in Giant Eagle now.
They made an announcement over the intercom. It still exists, Marvel.
That's right. We're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance and then nothing.
Not like Marvel's, no.
That's right. Sorry, I'm looking for the battle map.
Battle map of battle.
It's not a video podcast. They can't see it anyway.
I know. I'm just looking for it for myself.
Now look at this, people.
No, because there was a whole, like, only one third of it was listed as what it was, and everything had these dates going, we'll reveal this. So.
They're not going to reveal it.
Sure.
They're still pulling it out their butt, so they don't.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do with the time traveling X-Men and all this?
Bendis is taking them and going home.
Yeah, probably.
We're not a part of this.
See, it's in my head.
What Jiggy Jar Jar do?
Okay. Weird. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's Pat's news.
Party on, excellent. Okay.
That's now we're going to do the Scooby-Doo
ending.
It's
not the weed, people. Might be a liquor.
Want to watch the press conference again?
No.
Okay.
The Black Vortex one? Oh, no, it was the commercial. That was awful. He put that on.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. Should I consider myself lucky?
That's the biggest thing in Marvel.
He forced us to watch
it. It's an artifact, a new artifact that creates evil or something.
Oh, that was awful.
Mr. Knife.
Mr. Knife.
Pat, Mr. Knife.
But it's not even an unknown person. You know it's Jason of Spartax. They tell you that right there. It's like, okay, what was the point of that?
It would have been more interesting if it was Mr. Knight.
Yeah.
And Thane.
Mm-hmm. Thane, son of Ose.
Weird.
They could be like the super secret double probation Avengers.
Oh, man.
So, we're going to talk about comics, right?
I think that's what we did here.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't sign up for that.
Why don't we talk about Multiversity first?
That was an awesome
book.
All
three of us are at it, except for Pat.
That's okay.
That was awesome.
No, I'm waiting for the trade to read that.
That's going to read well in trade, I think.
Yeah. That's why I
He's
wanted to
read better. In
that's
trade,
why
yeah.
I wanted to wait.
Although I do kind of enjoy the okay. What the heck is he doing next?
Yeah,
I think I think a lot of this, like, it seems like some of it's summed up from the last issue, but new things are added on top of it through the newest issue. Like that seems like every issue that comes out, mm-hmm. like, oh, that explains what happened in the last.
They're
thing.
Like they're but separate, what's this but about? There are a couple like few yeah. lines.
This issue was really interesting. It goes to the weird miniature people.
Yeah,
DC Universe, whatever it is.
The Little League.
The Little League, yeah. Which I don't know when they were created. When I remember them was from Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness, Batman and Superman run. But yeah, he goes to there. One part I didn't understand in that is the Savannas. The Savannas are attacking that world.
Yeah.
The whole group of them. Of the whole multiverse of Savannas. And they bring back the one from the Little League world. And they eat him. Now, did you see that? Like, the three of them, they actually devour
him.
They
ate him?
They kill him, yeah. They cornered him, and then they were just we bring you people back with us because you guys are delicious.
I thought they talked about eating him.
No,
but then
I'm pretty sure they did because I never saw them after.
So I thought they were going to, then something happened, and they got this. Like,
it's possible.
So that maybe they were just threatening
him. They might have not showed
us.
The only thing is that we learned in this issue, and this is a spoiler alert, but you know it's last week. We learned that they're robots.
Yeah.
And that they held a secret is what they were saying in the guidebook. And then it turned out that they were robots. So I was like, well, if they did eat him, they're in for a surprise. Unless only the Little League are
robots.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they're not all robots.
Maybe they're not all, but it was a good
even
issue.
Even the Batman one says he thinks he's a robot.
Yeah.
After seeing
he figures it out
Martian
after.
Manhunter. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did he see his arm? Or was Batman's arm all screwed
it
up?
It was his arm. You're right.
Yeah. And it wasn't Bruce, too. It was
Dick
Grayson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that book, like, I'm not a huge fan of when, you know, an issue is suddenly more expensive.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to the end of that book, I felt that book was really worth the $8.
Not only, you know, I think the only problem I think with that book was, well, I had a few problems with it, but not huge issues with it. For one, the idea that they did call it a guidebook, I think confused a lot of people because I didn't know when I bought it that it was a book. I thought it was
just a guidebook.
So
some people that may have been reading multiverse
might have looked at it and said,
"Oh,
I don't need this because it's a guidebook."
But it truly was.
It was
another chapter.
It was the next chapter
of the
story
with the guidebook inside of it.
Yeah,
that the characters were reading, and then you were reading with the characters.
Yeah, Grant Morrison's really big on also putting making it like breaking the fourth wall, and he always puts like, the comic books in the book. Like, and it's not the first time. Like, they did something very similar like that in Infinite Crisis. Well, no, it was Infinite Crisis he was writing. I don't remember what book it was exactly. Maybe it was part of Final Crisis.
But he does it without being maybe right in the same break the fourth wall, just very meta.
Yeah,
and that it's.
Because the whole idea behind, I mean, he didn't create it, but the whole idea behind Superboy Prime is the same way.
Yeah.
My other issue was with this was something that Colin brought up a couple weeks ago with Thor and Multiverse, that there should really only be, and it was brought up by what, Matt? Was that brought up by the Thor Multiverse thing?
Oh yeah.
That
how could you have multiple versions of a god?
Of a god. And they kind of did this in this book as well.
He's not truly a god, though. He's just an
No,
alien.
But it's their own dimension, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So there should only be one Thor to this whole thing. Like, there shouldn't be multiple Thors. Which goes the same way, I think, with the New Guardians. Or not the New Guardians, the New Gods. Because there shouldn't be different versions of the New Gods. And we were given a younger version. They first appeared, I believe, in Wonder Woman in the New 52. And then Grant Morrison just gave us the older versions of them. Grant Morrison's makes more sense, though, because we should still have the older version. They shouldn't have changed. Only the rest of the multiverse should have changed. So, I wasn't... It's not like it's a huge thing that I wasn't fond of, but I was just like, yeah, they shouldn't have really changed those characters at all. So, but all in all, I thought it was a good story. I thought it was I like that one. I think one of my favorites.
It was a great book. I loved how in the guidebook portion, when they're showing all the different Earths, we had different artists render each Earth or the
Well, I love the little creature. Thing about the Flash, that little, little two-page spread showing how Flash is the key to the DC Universe.
I love that. I love how they gave like the history of the DC Universe and how the multiverses have expanded and contracted. And
any crisis that happens involves...
You search Battle World on Marvel's website and it comes up with Emma.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's a you found the secret.
Yeah. It's like, really?
That's the linchpin character.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, the Jane Austen character. Yeah, it's like... So, yeah, apparently I cannot find the interactive map on the Marvel website.
Weird.
They have a great website.
It is. It's pretty bad.
Especially once they took down the Konami code.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the very top thing. Agent Carter.
Huh?
Huh?
I was talking about
a Thanos collectible from Hot Toys.
The Flash, they showed
Undercover
that on...
Undercover Peggy's Greatest Gadgets.
On Grant Morrison's multiverse map that you see, the Speed Force plays a huge part. It actually surrounds everything.
Yeah, the Speed Force wall.
Yeah, that's how they're able... That's how he's able to jump Earth to Earth, to universe to universe. They made a good point about that. That how important he is. Every crisis involves him. Which I asked him the other day. I was just like, yeah, Infinite Crisis. Or Crisis on Infinite Earth. Flashpoint. I don't remember Zero Hour, he was dead. You remember Zero Hour?
Really?
That was the big... you remember Zero Hour?
Mm-mm.
Zero Hour is when Hal tries to go back to the beginning of the time to recreate reality as Parallax.
Okay.
I didn't mind it. I didn't think it was that bad of a story, but I think it was one of those 90s stories.
424 area code. So.
It was one of those 90s stories a lot of people weren't that into.
Okay.
A lot of people don't talk about Zero Hour that much. It's a part of this convergence thing, though. Certain books.
Yeah, it's Flashpoint, that, and was it...
Also, Zero Hour is out of print. Just like a lot of DC. It isn't? Oh.
You're saying a lot of DC stuff is out of print?
A lot of trade? I can never get certain things like that. Like,
that's because you don't say, hey, Colin, I'm looking for this. Can you square me away?
You can't just get suffer that. Why don't you have it?
Maybe because it sells regularly.
Zero Hour, I doubt
Dave,
it.
Is there one in the basement? Can you check?
Nothing down here.
What was the other thing? Well, they don't have like things like Batman that are tied in, like stories. They don't have Contagion out. They don't have Legacy. They don't got... there's quite a few things that aren't... there it is. They don't have,
you have to buy it now.
This would be a cool
one. Yep, you touched it, you have to buy it.
I don't think they have the thing that before this, where he becomes Parallax. I think that's out of print.
Yeah.
That's called, Emerald, is it Emerald Twilight? I think it's Emerald Twilight.
The man's
if you're not buying this,
I'm not asking him to go and get it.
Look in the back.
That's Emerald Dawn that you have.
And at the very back, they have a bunch of trades.
Oh, yeah. If they did it in this one. No, they don't got it.
Okay.
But I don't know what he's looking for.
Keep talking. I'm just walking around.
No, I am.
Wait, I told Adam to keep talking.
That is that's wrong with that, really? That's in Convergence.
Apparently.
What's the other thing?
Is?
What else is involved in Convergence?
More cowbell.
Is pre-crisis involved in Convergence? Or is it just after
Probably.
Crisis?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Flashpoint's involved.
There was three. Yeah, there was three. I think it was pre-crisis, Zero Hour, and Flashpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably about it.
I don't know.
Well, you feel like there's more than that.
No, if you look at the previews, there's only three different timelines.
Okay. Oh yeah, because it's the there's a Supergirl had the red tiara thing on her. Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember how we got into talking about Convergence.
Because you just ramble and get us.
There was something we were talking about. I don't remember what it was. But no.
Okay.
That's cool. Multiversity. It was good. Go get it.
Look the first. You signed in as Dave right now?
No, I'm trying. It says, view the full map of Battle World. So I'm,
it's 19 I'm minutes ago.
It,
he
but nothing's happening.
This is crazy.
What are you talking about?
Dave made
it's a CBR post.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Dave posted something. It says 19 minutes. Oh.
Well, he didn't take his phone when he dumped him in a
Dave basement. Said he's not going to make it tonight.
Obviously, Dave.
He said he had to do something at work. It was more important than podcasting. About comic books.
I don't know what else that could... Sad.
Oh, well.
Okay. So what else did you read, Adam?
Nothing. That's all he read.
Batman Eternal was good.
Yeah, so that finally catches up with the Batman 28 issue.
There was a couple panels. Catwoman.
Just catches up.
I didn't like the way Catwoman was drawn.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. She drew up really skinny, really
the
her
weird
nose
face
was pointed
was,
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, I was reading.
Not very Catwoman.
I forget whose review it was, but someone said it takes a lot of effort to make Selina Kyle look unattractive, and that artist managed to accomplish that.
Yeah. I just did not get that at all. But yeah, it caught you all up, but we're still trying to figure out who's behind all this.
At first, when I started reading, I'm like, are they just going to, like, skip over that story? Yeah. Just assume everyone read that? Because that doesn't make sense for someone that wasn't reading Batman, but then they show, like, the recap. And
yeah.
Well, I've been trying to just put it all together to see, like, what ties to who. Like, what character is behind this. So.
Yeah.
And, like, I kept going back to the point I was like, maybe it's still Hush. Maybe there's more to Hush's plan that he was locked away. But then I read Arkham Manor, and he was still there.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, well, I don't think Hush is really... the guy, so...
Well, and I thought it was the Court of Owls, maybe,
why would you throw him in Arkham Manor? When he knows Batman really is.
Oh, he's not in Arkham Manor.
No,
he's still
in the
Batcave.
Okay,
but he's... Yeah, he's... I mean, in the book. He's in the book. And I don't know when that takes place exactly, but you think Batman's a little too busy to be dealing with all sorts of...
What, Arkham Manor?
Himself in a manor, yeah, at the time. So I was thinking
the Arkham Manor
after.
Thing could have been just a couple days.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing it.
It's only
six issues. I think it's after the fact, but...
after that, but before the beginning of Endgame.
Yeah. I think that's the case. Batman, though, is definitely after... Batman come out last week?
Yes, Batman came out last week.
I don't remember if Arkham Manor came out last week. It might have, but
so.
It was good. That was a good book. It
Batman?
Well, we still don't know. No, Arkham Manor. We still don't know who the killer is exactly, but we're about to see who it is. But he's been basically chasing the people throughout, like, trying to figure out. And in this issue, like... somehow Joker infected, or somebody infected, I don't know if it was Joker, is Eric Border or what, I don't remember. But they infected Clayface, and they're calling him, something like, I forget, was it like Clay, did you read that, Arkham Manor?
Mm-mm.
It was like Joke Face or something. Or something like that, but he was very, like, you could see bones and stuff, but he had the smile and everything, and he looked like a melted Joker, basically. And he was going through a massacre, and it must have been some sort of distraction that he was using. But basically, the killer, they figure out that he's been there all along, and he's basically been traveling through the walls. And then he figures out, you know, tells him basically to come out, so he goes after him through that, and you still don't know who it is yet, so I think that book's been really good for, and but I don't see how you could keep that book going for as long as they did, or as long as they were planning, if they were going to take it further, which we don't know exactly yet.
Yeah.
But having him live in the mansion, that's all this is about, so if Batman can't just stay there all the time as a patient, he's, you know... So I don't know what they would have done with that book to begin with.
Batman was awesome.
Batman was really good.
Yeah.
And
the only thing I didn't like was the axe being in Jim Gordon's chest.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, to get it enough in there to where it's in a stick.
He should be dead.
A lot of damage is done. Like, it's lodged in his sternum
right
now.
Yeah, at a minimum, broken ribs and
yeah.
Yeah. Who is Duke? Was Duke the kid from...
I think he was the kid from Zero Year.
He was?
I think the kid, so, yeah. That's the kid that's going to be the first Black Robin.
Well, at least in that little...
No, at the Future's End, there was a Black Robin. It was supposed to be the kid from Zero Year. So that must be kind of the start of him on that path.
Yeah,
I think
that
it was
Future's End. Yeah. Oh, well, no, that was Batman and Robin, Future's End. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Batman and Robin, Future's End, when he goes after, and he's, Batman's going after, what's that character called? He's Damien's clone.
Heretic.
Yeah, and he's going after him, and that's Duke. And I think they had him in the sequence at the beginning of this Joker thing, where it seemed like it was the future or something. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
It seemed like it was a dream or something, and it had, I think... Maybe Harper Row was there, and then he had like a girl sidekick and a boy, and I think the boy was Duke.
Yeah, where he was talking about those visions or hallucinations he was having.
Yeah, I really liked Duke from that.
From Zero
from
Year.
Zero Year,
yeah.
Yeah. Or no, I liked him from, I liked that Future's End
mm-hmm.
tie-in.
Yeah.
I like the armor Robin kind of thing and the motorcycle. But yeah, it confused me because from Zero Year they seemed like they were poor, but maybe they were just in hiding at the time because of the flood.
Yeah.
But his family seemed a little more well-to-do mm-hmm. when he was when he found him. So
unless Wayne helped him out for helping them out,
yeah,
yeah,
he
could
was like,
be
here,
too.
Have some money.
Here's a couple.
Give Knox a grand.
He made it rain.
Yeah,
a grand.
Nice.
See your mom dance.
But the whole thing about the I saw a lot of like
he said made it rain.
He
did you say see your mom dance?
Well, he said to the kid.
He told the kid to dance.
Colin said that Bruce Wayne made his kid's mom's strip.
And he dance. I didn't say strip.
He said made
it's
it
implied
rain.
Dancing plus making it rain it normally means strip.
I didn't say make it rain. He said make it rain.
But together, you guys implied stripping. The kid's mom.
I don't know where your head is.
We don't know what Bruce Wayne was doing at the time. It was Zero Year. A lot of crazy stuff was happening.
Dirt.
She was painted with you, college.
That's how you break up the conversation. You're always like, dirty, move on.
Girl pop.
It works, too. Man.
The Joker thing, though, with him, nobody's sure, like, what's going on, though. Like, is he immortal? Is he not?
Yeah.
Is he...
First off,
how does this tie into
before
him becoming, if he was Red Hood, you know?
The best page in that book is that page of the Joker in the bathing suit.
In the swimming?
Swimming, yeah.
Swimming, yeah.
Like, that is the best page so far in this entire arc, I think.
We've never seen Joker swim before.
No?
Who knew he could?
It was like a really creepy...
It was.
Yeah.
...page. It was great.
It's been a good... Actually, this has been pretty good. It's been one of those that has keeping me... You know what? A lot of people keep commenting. I had somebody on Facebook said, you know, what did you think? And I was basically like, so far since Scott Snyder, this creative team has been on this book, it has been great. I mean, I can't criticize it at all, really. A lot of people are... you hear a lot of people are just like, well, the Joker wasn't that great. You know what? There's hit and miss, but I think it's been that creative team has been great on this book.
What about the Joker?
A lot of people didn't like Death of the what is it called? Death of the Family.
I don't know. I liked it.
I liked it. And the whole thing is, it was supposed to be a two-parter. This is the second part.
I think once this is over and people take in the context with Endgame, they'll have a different opinion about it.
After Zero Year, I sat there and I reread like all the trades, and it was so good. Like it. There's so much if you look at that you might have missed by reading the issues. If you sit there and just read them all at once,
mm-hmm.
there's so much to it. And how Scott Snyder just structures a story is just amazing. It's, you know, he has to be one of my favorite writers so far. And usually I'm not like that. Like I like the writing better. I look for writing better more than art usually for me.
Graphic artist? That's strange.
I look at it and, I think I have like a different respect for art because I don't look at it for total detail all the time that, they did this, they did that. Cause I understand how long it takes to do something, deadlines you have, all this stuff that I don't necessarily look totally for that. Cause I understand the stress that goes beyond that. But with writing, it's something brand new to me, but I really like the story and where it goes with that. And, I think Scott Snyder just has a good way of structuring a story, and he can make a good mystery story without being too overly complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's cool. Like, Grant Morrison will make a story like that, but Grant Morrison and it's not necessarily that's a bad thing that Grant Morrison does, because I like Grant Morrison as well. But I think Grant Morrison sometimes, he has a lot of mystery, you know, buried under mystery, mm-hmm. under mystery, under mystery. And it's just like, with Scott Snyder, it's simplistic,
there's some mystery there, but it's not as complicated.
It's not as complicated, yeah. And also how he sets the scene.
Yeah.
Not a lot of comic book people set the scene. They're just like, they just tell a straight out story. You know, this is happening, this is happening, and this is happening. Where Scott Snyder will be like, he'll be like, this is the theater of this, and, you know, this theater was built because of this and that. And it ties to the end of the story, and it's just like, this is why I talked about the theater throughout the movie, throughout the book. Really cool, he's losing it.
He has to be drunk or something today. Like
today, yeah.
No, I just started thinking about the zombie course and Carbuncle.
she just wants to dance.
She came into my head.
Go in the other room.
What is that? Who is the one talking about... somebody was talking about Yo Gabba Gabba the other day, where they get the sillies out or whatever. They have a song of that. That's what you need to do, Colin. You need to go out there and get the sillies out. Out of control. He's like a toddler. Now,
so here's a question. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are on... Shut up, Colin. Are on Batman through, I think, issue 50. They're... contract runs to that point. Yeah. So we have another year.
It's funny, but we're being delayed by Convergence a little bit, aren't we?
No, it should wrap up before that.
Yeah.
Well, probably not. It's for 50 issues.
So say they don't come back on the book. Who do you put on that book?
Batman or...
Get out of this room right now.
Hey, you know what?
Go home.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Bendis is Batman.
Hickman doing Batman. Oh, my God.
It would never end. We'd have an arc going on for 3 years.
Batman stopping worlds from colliding.
What's his name? Who does Batman or Robin?
Yeah, it's Tomasi. He'd do good.
He's not the same type of theme of
Johns. I don't think he could do a normal
Johns
Batman
has
book.
Done it. I don't know.
He
about
hasn't
Johns.
Done Batman.
Do you think Manapul and Buccellato?
Oh no, he didn't do it.
Get moved from
maybe.
Detective.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not the Batman.
Oh,
no.
Split him up.
That's how I don't think that would work. I don't think they could do
Scott Snyder.
Yeah,
he started
on Detective.
No, I'm not. It's not Rucker. The Detective is. I don't see them as that on that book. I don't see them more than
Tomasi and Gleason.
I don't know. I think the only other person I could think that might be up for it, just to see because he's been working on these books and he's not really doing too much right now, is Kyle Higgins. I could probably see Kyle Higgins running. And Kyle Higgins is just like Scott Snyder. He has a lot of the same interests. Not in writing style.
You know what though? If he did it,
that'd
I would
be tough. I mean, the thing is, if you sit here and try to think who could take the reins after this, I don't.
It's a totally different.
It's like apples and oranges because. I don't think there's a writer right now that they have.
I wonder what an Azzarello Batman would be like.
It could be. Yeah, I could see out of that. I mean, he did a Joker story.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did do Joker.
He did
right.
The Flash.
Well, and he did Batman for Joker. A while.
Oh.
I didn't read it, but I remember seeing his name on covers.
I don't know. I mean, basically, you look at what we've had on that books for as long as we had. For years, we had Grant Morrison. Now we have Scott Snyder. It's just like, who is going to come in?
Yeah.
And Phil Noshes.
Yeah, who's going to take the reins here?
Like the only person, just from a name standpoint, that could take over and be a big, you know, splash would be Jeff Johns. I was going to say, but
that's the thing.
I don't see him.
They need to get away from doing that because the whole thing about it is we can't. Otherwise, we have a Bendis on our hands. Because
Jeff Johns is good in how he's been used right now to come in and kind of
rescue characters.
Yeah, but we can't.
The Broken City.
They can't keep doing that because we're relying too much on Geoff Johns to save a book.
But he's not staying on it as long as.
But the only thing is, you can't get people. You can't get people like Scott Snyder. You know, we wouldn't have had Scott Snyder if we would have been like, maybe we need to have Geoff Johns on everything.
But they're not putting,
because we need to give those people a chance that they have.
Did Batman need saving though?
No, but. You had a guy like Scott Snyder who was writing basically nothing for DC, and now he's writing one of their top books.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're giving all these writers chances. I mean, especially look at Convergence, they have all these different writers.
Truthfully, what I'd like to see is if they do something like that, first of all, I think it would be, well, Scott Snyder did Superman Unchained, which people did like Unchained, just not the delay of it. I think Scott Snyder... It would be interesting to see him on Superman because I really did like his run on the Flashpoint version.
He said that
he
wanted to do an ongoing, like he wanted to make Unchained ongoing.
Yeah.
But it was Jim Lee on art that couldn't maintain the ongoing.
That couldn't do that. Yeah. So after Geoff Johns, it might be a good switch.
Shock.
But I don't know where he's going to go direction wise, where Scott Snyder is going to go after this. I don't know if he's going to focus more on his independent stuff or if he's going to do. I think it would be odd if he left. Didn't do anything with DC at all. That was
DC exclusive.
Yeah.
Maybe. Plus, you know, he's got the Image stuff.
Yeah, but so does Charles Soule.
You know what? I'd like to see him on. I'd like to see him on Justice League Dark. I'd like Snyder? To put him on a
If on you're a dark
put,
book.
Yeah, you got to put Snyder on a mysterious book because that's what he's like. He does those type of stories, and Justice League Dark could use it. They could really use that. But truthfully, it's really up in the air. It's going to be hard to fill that book, Batman.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to fill it because replace those two, you're not just replacing here, and that's the thing, you're not just replacing one writer.
Yeah.
You're replacing Grant Morrison as well because Grant Morrison did it for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Scott Snyder, and it's just like, who do you get after that? Snyder was a shot in the dark because who knew how well Scott Snyder was going to do.
They saw how he was on Detective.
Though. No, yeah, they saw that, but it's just like before that.
I think they have less of a problem taking a risk on Detective than they do on the main Batman book.
Yeah.
I was worried whenever Scott Snyder and Yannick Paquette were leaving Swamp Thing.
Charles Soule, it was a good idea for him to jump off that book.
Charles Soule wasn't, too well known prior to that point.
Because he jumps on books that are basically going to be ended, like in Marvel. It's just like, wow, you really thought this, didn't know this was going to happen.
He did
20 issues of Red Lanterns. He did, 20 or 18 issues of...
No, he was saying Marvel.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts, She-Hulk.
But now his current books are new books.
Inhuman. Oh, sorry.
Thunderbolts, done. She-Hulk, it's going to be done.
She-Hulk's already canceled.
Yeah.
And then what was the other? Inhumans.
Yeah, Inhumans.
How often does that come out?
Wolverines. He's doing Wolverines.
Oh, yeah, the best weekly book that Marvel has.
No, he's not. I don't know if he's doing all of it. I know Ray Fox.
He and Ray Fox
one.
Are taking turns.
Yeah.
That's another one. He shouldn't have went anywhere either because
his stuff's been hit or miss with DC.
Sometimes, yeah. He did some Batgirl, which I didn't mind.
Those two issues were all right. During the period when Gail Simone
was that the one that he was fired, doing, like, the horror stories?
Came back.
Where, like, do you remember that story where he was in the house? Like, Batgirl went into a house that they used, like, a Ouija board or something to release a demon or something?
Is he still on Justice League Dark?
I don't believe. I could be wrong. I don't remember, but, like, that book's
Constantine, too, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think he is on Constantine.
Now, I do like Gotham by Midnight.
Yeah.
A lot, which is on. That came out last week.
Yeah.
Really good, really creepy.
I read the first one, I'm just behind.
I'm surprised. You loved the first one.
I have a feeling
it has nothing to do with that.
I'll tell you the truth. I have a feeling that book's going to get it. It's going to get the axe.
Yeah.
Gotham by Midnight?
Yeah.
How are your numbers on it?
My numbers are okay, but
this is a DC store.
I could see that book.
It's a very niche,
a big, like,
yeah.
But I mean, what are their expectations of it as well? Yeah. You know, it's not going to sell Detective numbers. You know, I don't think they.
I don't get. Do they really? How many books do they expect before they cancel a book?
I have no idea.
It seems very hit, like a shot in the dark of like how many. If it's a niche audience, shouldn't they assume printing it as a niche audience book? Like,
oh yeah, they're not going to print 100,000 copies of it.
No, they print based on what we order.
Yeah, But it just, it seems odd because then they're just like, after a while, well, this isn't doing what we want it to do. Well, what do they want it to do, really, is my question. I don't get that. Oh, who knows, Josh?
I like it.
Well, one person isn't enough to keep it going.
No, I agree. I think it's good. I just, I have a feeling like that's going to be one of those books that's just like...
That's the neat thing about it. It's the Temple Smith art.
And those dark books, for some reason, those darker books don't sell... Don't seem to like...
Because they're more of a niche audience.
Yeah, and it just seems like it happens all the time with them. Like, I think the only reason why Justice League Dark doesn't go is because...
It's a niche audience, but they do it's well a loyal for, audience too, like, though.
If a book is selling steady,
yeah,
there's really no real reason to cancel it, you know, unless it's losing money. Yeah. But as long as it's making money and it's steady, I love those books.
But I mean, like, Image and Dark Horse will have horror-based books, and they do well.
I mean, I love the books where I order 9, sell 8... You know, and steady month in, month out. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to worry about it. I can live with those. You know, because I'm not losing money. Where on some of these other books where it's like, oh, geez, you know, like X-Men, you know, I order 40 and sell 38. And then I order 40 and sell 34. And then I order 36 and sell 30. And I'm chasing my way down. That's where you get in trouble.
Can you order low, then just reorder if you have to?
Generally not. No, Marvel generally sells out.
Whose hat is that?
Whose what?
Whose hat is that in this?
I don't know. Somebody left it there.
It's for sale.
Or didn't left it here, and it just got thrown over.
It's for sale.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Anything else?
Oh, Adam was talking?
Yeah. He went first this time.
Okay. Yeah, that's why
we were all over the place.
No, that's why we were all over the place. That explains things.
We are.
What else did you read?
Who's the one that's just been randomly
cracking up
for no reason?
Jiggy Jar Jar do.
I just
dirty.
All of a sudden in my head I went, oh, I just want to. It's very funny. It makes me laugh.
There's a time and a place, girl.
Right.
This is the place, this is not the time.
This is not the place.
Yeah. So 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I can giggle here all I want by myself. Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I don't know. I've The only thing I've really read, I was rereading Infinite Crisis, or Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is
not the same thing.
No, I keep getting them confused, thrown together. Because I always call it Crisis, and then Infinite comes up, and then there's the animated movie, the Crisis on Two Earths. But it's kind of funny, I read that book earlier on before I read a lot of DC stuff, and when I was reading it, I was just like, I have no idea what's happening. And then I've been reading New 52, like I really started reading DC more in New 52, so I'm reading the book, and I'm like, I actually know what's going on in this book now. And it's funny, because you think all the DC continuity changes that would have caused a problem, but it really didn't, because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, I know who this is. I know why he's here. Even some of the Earth 2 characters, they show up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he just showed up in Earth 2, you know, in New 52. Like, Steel. You remember Steel was in Earth 2? And not the hammer Steel, but the...
Shaq.
No, the guy, no, Earth 2 Steel, who has the red suit. Just characters, you know, the female version of Wildcat, who showed up in Earth 2 just recently as the Avatar of the Red.
Yeah.
So a lot of those characters showed up. So I was just like, I don't know. It just really still kind of holds up, like reading it. And then I kept looking at it, and I was just like, this is basically what they're talking about, what Battle World is. It's a bunch of Earths crashing together, one coming out of it. So I don't know. It seems like
been
that's
there,
what they're
done
going
that.
For. Yeah, and then the back of the book, kind of what it explains of like doing something nobody's ever done before. And then I thought about that a little bit. I was just like, yeah, until now, because now everybody's doing that. Yeah. I mean, all the events involve, like...
Multiverses. Yeah.
It's like they can't get past the whole multiverse. It was a good idea. But, you know, do something more. But DC centers around the multiverse, from all the way to the Guardians. And it was kind of neat seeing, like... you remember Volthoom? You remember Volthoom?
Yeah.
And he was the Hand.
Well, right, even
coming
in Multiversity, there was the Hand.
Yeah, and he showed up in that. And Infinite Crisis, Crisis on Infinite Earths does the exact same thing, where the Anti-Monitor goes to the Dawn of Time. He waits for the screen that Cronus, creates the screen to view it, and he's wanting to push his hand instead. to create an antimatter universe. And so all these little things that you've been seeing through New 52, through that, through everything, it just reinforces why I'm liking New 52, is the fact that, and why I don't understand why people aren't liking it as much, is because they've been doing this for years. This multiverse thing. They've been changing it up for years.
Your
they've been smashing
still exists.
Earth together. They're all it. There. And the whole thing about Infinite Crisis...
Does DC have a pizza? I don't understand.
No,
they did a calzone. Food. Okay.
Yeah.
The whole thing about Crisis on Infinite Earths is that...
It's your Kung Pao? This is...
That,
it's a buffet.
Yeah, okay.
That
DC's
they,
a buffet. Marvel's a pizza. There we go. There's our analogy.
It's the whole thing about Crisis on Infinite Earths... was that, like, it changed pre that. Everything that they knew went away, and it's considered one of the most, like, classic DC stories out there. So, I don't know. It's just the whole thing still does not make any sense to me why people have really that big of an issue, because they've been doing it like this for years. Yeah. So, but it's really worth going to pick up. If you haven't read it for a while, reread it.
I read it when it came out in issues.
Now you can read it again. You have all the issues behind the counter. And you do. You have those for sale, right?
I do.
So he's got all the issues for sale here. You can come to...
How much for the bundle?
Bundle's $100. But the bargain is, I think, two of those issues are worth, like, $70 or $80 themselves. So.
Wow.
Huh. It's the death of Flash and death of Supergirl.
Supergirl. Yep.
Flash was dead a long time after that.
Yep.
Yeah, he was dead for, what, 25
years? Supergirl was pretty much dead.
And they... One weird thing that I haven't figured out...
incarnations, but...
Yeah. One thing I didn't figure out, though, in that book was, like, Superboy Prime just shows up out of nowhere. And he shows up when they're going to time travel, if you can remember that.
It was 1985.
They're about ready to time travel to go to the dawn of time. And Superboy Prime shows up, and Superman remembers him because he met him in his first appearance, which is DC Comics Presents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... I forget what number it was. 88 or something like that. And he shows up in that, and then he goes with them, and then you don't see anything about him. And then he's, like, a big player in Infinite Crisis, which kind of flows out of this book.
Flows.
It does. It kind of does flow out of the book, because it goes from...
Smooth Adam.
It has a lot of the same, like, the little things in it that, like, you didn't understand quite or something. And they just kind of, like, go into this. And it took a while, because that book's very more modern of what Geoff Johns made. So. But go back. Go read it. He has it for sale here somewhere, I'm sure. And the issues. So.
Yep. I have the trade, too. Which
trade
is not as
issues.
Much.
Buy it all. While supplies last.
You done? Well, yeah. I can get more. Okay.
You can get more issues of it?
I can get more.
Pat.
What did you read?
Moving on.
Oh. Nobody wants to hear what I read.
Okay. Red Lanterns. Did you read that,
mm-hmm.
Josh? So
I didn't love it.
No, it's clear why it's wrapping up at this point. You know, in the Future's End issues, Guy is a Blue Lantern, and I was hoping that's kind of where this is going to head, because that's the thing. I mean, the Blue Lanterns are depleted at this point, except for St. Walker.
My issue is, I get it. Guy Gardner has a death wish. He's just kind of, you know...
He's got some anger issues.
Like, you don't have to keep telling me it constantly.
Yeah.
And that's this issue, I felt like, was just saying the exact same thing that we've just heard.
It's going to take them a while, though, to recreate the Blue Lanterns, because they have to create a power battery. And they can't do that without Ganthet, because Ganthet was the one who created it. So, and if he doesn't come out of hiding,
well,
I don't know who else will, unless they have a guardian who wants to create it, but then they're not for creating other light spectrums.
Well, but maybe they don't have to do that. You know, just like in, Larfleeze is the orange battery.
Yeah.
So maybe St. Walker becomes the battery for Hope.
I don't know how that works exactly. I've kind of wondered that. How does he, the power battery? I mean, he kind of absorbed it, didn't he? How did that happen? There was a whole book on that. It was the Agent Orange book, maybe, I think.
They didn't find out that he himself was the battery until the Larfleeze series.
Yeah, in the recent run, it was just...
Oh, really?
Found out that he is... the embodiment of greed that...
They show his origin in something. Was that Agent Orange? Did you read Agent
Orange? I read Agent Orange, but...
There was a book that basically showed that, like, he kills his brothers or something for the greed.
That
like,
was they're fine. That was not in Agent Orange.
He finds... I don't know if he finds the...
Wasn't it, like, a backup story in Threshold or something like that?
It wasn't that, though. There was backups for Larfleeze in there, but it wasn't...
Do you remember this story, though?
No.
Like, it was... He shows up on the planet. This is... It's like... He shows up on some planet with either brothers or something like that.
It was his mom.
Was that what it was?
It was his mom, and his mom was kind of awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he somehow finds... I don't know if he finds the power battery. The battery or something... But it's like something makes him greed. It gives him greed. And then he gets so greedy that he kills whoever he thinks is going to want it. And then he's the only person with... He's all alone at the end. I don't remember where that was from. Jeez, it could have been in the Christmas issue. Who knows? Because he had that one-shot Christmas issue. But yeah, I don't know how that works exactly. So I don't know how the Blue Lanterns can recreate something like that.
Well, he already was a saint
before
he became Saint Walker. So
I just thought that was just his name.
No, they actually talked about that he was a saint before.
On his planet.
So maybe he does have the power to do it, or, you know, possibly even Kyle, because he's a White Lantern.
That's true.
Maybe
Kyle
he can
might
do
be
it.
Able to do something like that, too.
And
I know the Green Lanterns, I think, can recharge their battery by, like, focusing their energy into it, but I think you have to have a lot of them is how they sorted that out. Listen to us talking about how Green Lanterns function and use their rings to charge batteries, but yeah, I don't
powers
know how that
combined.
Works. Yeah. Then Captain Planet shows up, or Parallax, either one. Where is Parallax? He's still with Sinestro, right?
Yeah, Sinestro controls him.
I'm always trying to keep track of him, because I know he's the only one that didn't go into the Source Wall.
Yeah.
So. Well, and actually, that was the next book I was going to talk about was Sinestro, where he uses Parallax.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it is. It's like his pet now.
Yeah. I read that. It was good.
Yeah.
He talks to it. I remember in the last one of those issues, he was just like, you know, like Parallax wasn't wanting to do what he wanted to do, and he was just like, yeah, you don't have a
chance. Yeah, I'm your master. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Yeah, but in Sinestro, he's fighting. He goes to War World and he fights Mongol, and
he's trying to see if what's her name from the New Gods shows up.
Yeah, because he had given her a ring in the offer.
What, the War World?
Yeah,
he can't go to War World. Did he go to the Phantom Zone?
No.
See, DC screwed up on continuity there.
Yeah, DC. And this is in the first.
There was something else where he was in War World.
Because how they've mentioned it in Sinestro and
Earth 2.
Also in Batman, Superman.
That's a different one. That's
I
a different
it was
War
Batman,
World.
Superman a few
months ago. That's the universe, basically.
Because that's where.
I don't like how they call it Earth 2. They should really call it Universe 2, because it's the universe, not just the Earth. But because
that's where Darkseid got War from.
One
of the Furies.
That's where Darkseid got it from, the Earth 2 model.
Okay.
But the Earth 1, or Earth 0, I'm sorry, they changed that. The Earth 0 Mongol, Superman, Batman fought them, and that they pushed the planet into the Phantom Zone. So Battle World was in the Phantom Zone. And then in Doom, the whole storyline.
War World.
All of that.
This podcast is over.
It is. It's
can't
ridiculous.
Keep both Battle Worlds, War Worlds, all sorts. They're all the same thing.
So the DC
one's
pizza
off the
and
other.
Marvel pizza are being smashed
collided,
together.
And Mongol was just like, I don't like this at all. Mongol was, he came out. I thought it was funny, because in Doomed, he comes out of the Phantom Zone, because he's just like, he can escape now and get out. And then he sees what's happening, where everybody's being attacked by Brainiac, and he figures out Brainiac's there, and he's just like, we're better off in the Phantom Zone. He goes around and walks back in. And so, yeah, he should have still been in the Phantom Zone, so who knows? They screwed up.
Don't know.
a Rune Pat story that he liked.
No, it's okay.
He was just like, I like
no,
the
you
book,
didn't,
too.
You didn't ruin it.
Ruin Pat's news, Ruin Pat's reviews.
You're just a ruiner.
Just a ruiner.
Big poo-poo head.
What Jiggy Jar Jar do?
Flash.
Oh, he's holding it in.
Was Flash last week?
Yeah, Flash was last week.
Yeah, I read Flash.
I thought that was okay. It's definitely setting up to where Patty might end up meeting an unfortunate end.
Well, Patty definitely knows something's up with Barry.
Yeah.
I don't know if Barry realizes that Patty knows something yet, though.
No, you would think someone that came from the future would know. Yeah.
And here, I don't know if she'll meet an unfortunate end because this Barry,
he's not
flat out evil in that he would just, I don't think he would just murder Patty, get her out of the way, but he's definitely more of a grizzled and extreme action version of Barry Allen. Like he thinks what he's doing is the right thing.
But that's why I think he will get rid of Patty because...
But I don't know if he'll get rid of her just to help himself.
Well, and the other thing is our Barry is on his way out of the Speed Force.
Which I... something's going to happen there. Like that...
It was too easy.
I forget what that character's name is.
The archaeologist guy.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like there's something more to him than has been revealed so far.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Max Mercury or something like that. Somebody, because he's trapped in the Speed Force.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, something's going to happen there. I don't know. I just thought it was really weird that... you know, he cut off, was it Napalm's arm? And you're like, Flash doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So many arms are getting cut off in comics recently. Thor.
Give me your arm.
No.
All right.
He said, please.
I didn't, actually.
Colin's calmed down now. Okay. Let's not get him all riled up again.
No, you're right. You're right.
Ready for bed.
I pretty much am.
He wore himself out.
Uncanny X-Men. Anybody else read that?
Mm-mm. But yeah. I flipped through it where
Charles
comes. It's like you kind of needed to read those annuals to understand what's going on from that girl.
Yeah.
Or at least it looks like she's going to play a role.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So and at the end of the last issue, S.H.I.E.L.D. basically realizes that this kid who's an Omega level mutant is a danger. So they launch an attack and end up killing Magic and Cyclops and this kid.
I never liked
and then,
Magic.
Well, it's not going to matter.
No.
So he comes...
Especially because Magic is in the Black Vortex I just read.
Okay. Well,
sure it doesn't.
I don't think it's going to matter.
You think their editors would have caught that, Colin? Come on.
Yeah. They're dealing with time travel, so, you know, he might prevent this whole thing from happening. But this other girl, who's one of the newer X-Men, goes back and tells Charles what had happened, which he's not real happy about. It's kind of like, you know, he pulls the Doc Brown thing. You're not supposed to tell me about my future. So,
even though he reads the letter anyways.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
So, Charles, which I'm guessing is probably the Charles... from the all-new X-Men, past Charles, and I'm assuming from the timeline where we brought the X-Men to our
1960s
time.
1960s Charles.
Yeah. It, you know, comes back, and, you know, he's going to take care of this.
Which, Magic, you know, right? What? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to go all time travel-y, like, on us, that we're just, like, going through the logic of time travel, but it doesn't make any sense. Because... all these characters are showing up, and they're just like, you know what? I like the future. I'm just going to stay here. Doesn't that create a paradox? Because, like, nobody's in the past.
As long as they eventually go back. And here's the thing.
Who says
but
they
that's
are?
The challenge. They have to go back.
They can stay in the future as long as they want.
No, they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
No, they can't. I'll explain to you why they can't.
They can.
I have time traveled.
They can,
I know.
Stay, they can stay as long as they want.
This works.
They have to go back to the point where they left, and their lifespans may be shorter if they
well,
stay
that's
too
what I was
long
say.
In the future.
They can't, because they continue to age while they're in our timeline. So,
What if it's like Quantum Leap, and when they go back, they're just jumping back into their bodies?
Oh!
That's
but
not,
none of them turned into
time
girls.
Travel.
Oh. It could be. You don't know.
That's quantum mechanics.
Prove me wrong.
It's quantum mechanics, and I love quantum mechanics.
Nice.
Yeah, prove him wrong. Where's your DeLorean?
Well, if I had a DeLorean, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in the past.
I don't know anything about time travel. It's a phone booth, not a DeLorean. Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a TARDIS.
Excellent.
Maybe the phone booth was a TARDIS.
You're a TARDIS.
That'd be great if somehow Bill and Ted got put in the Doctor Who continuity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How do we know that... What was George Carlin's name in that movie?
Rufus.
How do we know Rufus wasn't a Time Lord?
Time Lord. Oh, man.
It makes sense. He's flying around in a time lord.
They were his companions.
Uh-huh. And Bill and Ted... I mean, he could have picked better. It's not like he's...
My mind is blown right now.
The Doctor picks, like, at least female companions, but whatever. You know, Rufus.
If he's the occasional that guy that's with a female.
I was going back to when George Carlin was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and he's driving the pickup truck. That's why he had those. Yeah.
Okay. And the other one that I read is He-Man Eternity War, where...
How's that down?
It's okay. The one thing I don't understand is... And it's, you know, obviously been years since I saw the show, but I thought that the Snake Men were evil.
Yeah, they were, but I think after a while they, like, joined with them. Like,
well, so the whole thing is, if you remember the original costume for Tila, she had the snake hood. She's a sorceress now. She has that hood, and they're worshiping her. So that's why they're on He-Man's side, is because Tila's a sorceress.
Okay.
So, apparently Hordak has some space weapon, which I don't ever remember that kind of stuff happening in He-Man.
I don't remember them doing much space stuff.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about space was his mother was an astronaut from Earth and crashed, but that's the only thing. But anyway, Hordak has this. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, He-Man's.
And Skeletor is actually He-Man's uncle. He was Keldor. And then he got taken in and, you know, was trained
they've
by...
They really made an in-depth...
I don't remember
He-Man.
All this rich lore in the cartoon.
They've really...
And some of it was, like, the comics that came with the action figures.
They did a lot with the newer cartoon as well for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was actually pretty good.
I liked it. I just don't think the audience was there.
So Man-at-Arms is going up into space wearing Roboto as armor, basically.
Mr. Roboto?
Yes. He said, you know, domo arigato. And, you know, he takes out the weapon and, you know, then realizes, oh, I don't have a way to get back home because, you know, no gravity and no thrusters to, you know, go down.
So you're just floating around.
Yeah.
So Major Tom.
Bad planning.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Earth below us, drifting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That was that.
Aquaman last week. Can you guys read Aquaman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was good.
Good.
This arc, this Maelstrom arc has been really, really good. I feel like this is Jeff Parker really coming into the book.
Yeah.
So it's been about Aquaman trying to solve the mystery of his mother's death / disappearance, because we find out that she's not dead, that she orchestrated her death to escape Atlantis. We don't really know why.
It seems like she's wanting to get away from, like, the being a royal.
But she's a ruler in her current realm. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Well, I don't think she wants to be a part of the Atlantean family.
Yeah.
Like, she found something out that she doesn't like.
Or maybe something she thought she was going to be killed for.
And also, it has something to do with these portals, because she's destroyed, like, certain ones to get to where
she hide certain things and keep people from falling. But she was prepared for, eventually, someone to find her.
Yeah.
She looks like a badass.
Yeah, after you saw her from the beginning, and then she's like, I don't know. She looked.
I mean, they showed, she definitely looks older. Like, her hair is kind of grayish.
She's
bulky
and armored.
Yeah,
like.
She looks awesome. So it's been a really good, really good arc. Curious to see where it's going.
Debbie's cosplay next year for Halloween.
Can you be Aquaman's mom, please?
Can you be Aquaman's mom?
She looks
mom?
Awesome. That's the way he said it. It was funny.
How would you dress like
she
Aquaman's
looks
mom?
Awesome.
I hate you, Colin.
Yeah, join the club.
This podcast is just that people are going to be listening and be like, Colin's in a mood. Like, first he's happy, then he's like, you join the club. Everybody hates us.
That's what happens when Dave isn't here.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave is the calming force.
Yeah.
Dave is the Flash of the group. He keeps us all, the Groot, if you will.
We are Groot.
We just gave Dave a new character just now. He's Groot.
Harley Quinn last week.
Yeah, yeah. I
really liked that issue. Like, I feel like this run on Harley Quinn is making her
a real character.
It's giving her the best qualities of what Marvel characters have, in that you're showing her as more than just this villain. You're showing her as this real character with real problems, and this book has done a good job of really being a fun book, but also humanizing Harley Quinn.
And she doesn't have to be the Joker's
girlfriend,
sidekick, or whatever.
Yeah, that's what this book has really shown her.
She's
to be able to stand on. And,
yeah.
So it was really good. So you had this book, and just, you know, not a whole lot happens, like, action-wise.
It was
just
Harley's no good, very bad day.
The most action was her, you know, trying to get some muggers, essentially.
Yeah.
At one point. But it shows her trying to deal with issues with being the, you know, landlord of the building, and having to deal with this job as a
therapist,
seeing that she really does have, you know, these chops to be a therapist when she's not being kind of crazy.
And she's done that in a couple different issues, like the Christmas issue where she talked with the kid. I mean, they've shown that where, she's actually pretty good at her job.
Yeah, trying to juggle personal life with this date she's trying to get on, but missing that, and then also trying to, you know, juggle being on the roller derby team, and it was a good, like, slower in terms of nothing, you know, over the top occurring, but still, like, a lot going on.
No, I really look at that as like the Deadpool book of the New 52, to where it's in continuity, but it really isn't. Stuff can go on the side, and it doesn't really impact anything, because she's also in Suicide Squad at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It's the most Deadpoolish book that DC has. I think it's a little bit more grounded than Deadpool is.
Well, that's not really hard, but.
But no, it was a really good issue. I like where Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti have been taking this book and this character.
Yeah,
that's the artist that was on All Star Western, wasn't it? Palmiotti,
writer. Yeah,
he was the writer. Who was the they had, like, a long team for All-Star
Western?
Yeah, Gray.
Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti.
They worked on a pre-New 52 as well?
They did Jonah Hex,
yeah. And they were also together on Star Spangled War Stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Also canceled?
Yeah.
All-Star Western.
There's a shocker.
I'd pick that up in trades, though. I really liked All-Star Western.
Yeah, I want to get that in trades at some point when I catch up on trades that I have.
I think it went for what... I think All-Star... I don't want to jump to All-Star Western too much, but I think All-Star Western went where they wanted it to, and that was it. They kind of put an end to Jonah Hex in a way.
I mean, they were on the book total for like 90 issues.
Yeah. They were on it for a while, and then they actually just decided to put the character to rest because, they didn't kill the character.
Well, I don't think they wanted to end when they did. I think the sales weren't great, so DC said, you know, we gave you was it like 30 issues or around there?
Yeah.
So it's time to bring it to a close. But so they were able to end it the way they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think if the sales were better, they would have kept going.
Yeah.
Just from interviews.
The Gotham stuff was really popular when it came out.
Yeah.
When they were doing past Gotham. But once you leave Batman, you know, the Batman world, then
it's a shame because people criticize DC for having all these Batman books and not having, you
know,
all these.
But that's who's doing it. It's not DC.
Not having like all these other, you know, niche books, but DC,
they
tried it when they relaunched
don't do it.
In 2011. Yeah. They had all these different books and people weren't buying.
Yeah.
So,
and they try to do things like even with Superman, they're giving Superman a new power.
Yeah,
supposedly
maybe with Convergence, when people get a taste of all these different things, maybe they'll generate
like
some
it,
interest
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
But
books.
Who knows? I mean, it's really tough. I think sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like. Even with Marvel will bring out something that's just like a character that, like, they brought out a Blade book, like, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually liked it. I was reading it, and I said, this is giving us a new, it was about, like, he found his father and stuff like that. Nobody was reading it.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to read a Blade book. They wanted to go back and read,
it was good,
you know?
I like that one.
And, you know, and it was the artist you like.
Shaken.
Yeah. It was Shaken.
Well, I think Marvel
good,
now banks on that happening by having these shorter runs and then relaunching and generating, you know, interest.
So I can give, you know, Marvel that much that's, you know, nobody seems interested in it, or it has to be a certain thing for them to be interested in, but that doesn't keep a company running. Like, yeah. They can't just have one character running.
No, they got to find their next thing to go to.
Yeah.
But they'll still try out things like Squirrel Girl. I mean, not for us, but...
And it's all about getting number ones. And, you know, I was just thinking about that with the whole Star Wars thing, and I'm just like, nobody... Everybody's collecting these ones, and it's just like, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
They're not going to be worth
You're just,
anything.
Yeah, they're no. not. They overprinted Star Wars. Star Wars, yeah. they told us right away, Star Wars sold 1 million copies. Okay, you're done. That's the collector's market right there.
Every Loot Crate subscriber got a copy.
Unless, like, yeah. Loot Crate catches on fire and burns down the building, like, that's
yeah.
that's right, the majority Milton. Of their, that was their profit right there, then there would be less. But being that they're still existing, people are bagging and boarding them and putting them away thinking they're going to become the next big thing.
Except, they are.
You know what they're going to become? They're going
to
become...
I have it right next
Death
to my Spawn
Superman.
One and Death
the
Superman.
Death of Superman. That's what they're going to be. So, I don't get it. I really... And the variants, they're not going to do that much either unless the variant was printed very low. It all depends on what the print run is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's rare, that makes it valuable. And if it... And what else makes it valuable is if somebody wants it. If nobody wants it, and it wasn't that great, then nobody's going to buy it. It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I think people have a hard time understanding that just because you put a number one on it doesn't make it a collector's item.
What?
It has to be... Walking Dead is the best recent
example.
Is it in its
original plastic bag? Oh, sorry.
Walking Dead is the best example of the collector's market, the modern collector's market, because what happened is Walking Dead came out, what, 10 years ago probably? Around 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Walking Dead came out. They didn't know how well it was going to do, and they had a low print run of it. And that's why it's so rare to find a Walking Dead number one. That's why it's worth what it is. Outcast yeah. is the next example of that. Outcast, they tried to say, this is the next Walking Dead.
So they printed a ton.
They printed it a ton. People went out and bought it like crazy, and now they're all over eBay for $80, but nobody's buying
it. But you
have
a book like Saga that...
They already did.
...didn't have a huge print run for number one, and that one sells for a decent
yeah.
amount.
Mm-hmm.
That one did fairly well. Yeah. So, and I think, sometimes I wonder if that just... That was kind of an unknown at the time. Yeah. Only
and
a couple
of the New 52 number ones sell for a decent amount. I think Batman sells for still.
Batman still does very good, but nothing goes as high as something like Walking Dead. Walking Dead has a high.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that also has the TV show. That's
yeah.
the reason for
but
that.
But that helps it, yeah. But it,
well, yeah,
I would imagine
that the price spiked when the TV show
yeah.
launched.
But do you think
not even
that...
when it launched, it was more like the middle. It was like the middle of season two.
When it became the cultural phenomenon.
When it hit the yeah. mid-season break and all of a sudden everybody was like, wait, this is a comic book? I can find out what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both because I think that's why it's so high compared to... Because usually something like that would be like, oh, this existed. Oh, yeah, we'll just put a high number on it, $80. No, it's so rare to find. Plus, it's popular. So that doesn't really... But I don't know. Just people with this number one thing, I don't get it. I really don't. But... Yeah.
Okay, get off the soapbox.
Mm-hmm. Vertigo Quarterly, Black.
Heard good things about it. I didn't read it.
It was really good. So I bought the first quarterly, the cyan one, and it was all right. Like the whole purpose or point of these quarterlies, they're taking a color and they're saying one of the four main colors in the whole comic book process, and all the stories that are in the quarterly. It's an anthology, so we have different creative teams and short stories, but they're supposed to but they're supposed to convey the feeling of that color.
Okay.
And with the first one, Cyan, I felt most of the stories didn't do a good job of that. Like they, you know, had the art with that sort of, you know, color hue to it, but the stories themselves didn't really convey. But how do you really convey Cyan anyways?
Yeah.
It's blue.
So I kind of skipped on yellow and magenta, but Black I got because Jeff Lemire was doing a Sweet Tooth story for it, so I picked it up, and it was a really good anthology. Like it starts off with a Francisco Francavilla short story where he's doing the art and the story on it, which was absolutely phenomenal and a gorgeous short story. And then you have the Sweet Tooth story. So I think out of the anthology there was 8 or 9 short stories. Only one I flat out didn't like, and just because I hated the art on it. But there's a good Fabio Moon story, a good Cy Spencer story, the Jeff Lemire story. He did the art and the writing for it. So it was a really good, you know, $8 book. I think it was worth the price. The other book I want to talk about that came out last week, and then I want to go talk about two that you mentioned we both read from 2 weeks ago. You didn't talk about last week, but the Valiant ones.
Oh, okay.
So last week, Unity came out and wrapped up the arc where the Unity team has been going against the United team, which is the team
that's
getting
confusing.
Yeah, they could have picked a different name for them, but the United team is the team that these other members of the UN put together because they felt that the U.S. and Great Britain had too much power with Team Unity.
Okay.
So that comes ahead, but where the issue was really enjoyable, each page was split off to where you have half of it is the action and the big, you know, climactic fight between these two teams, and the bottom half is essentially like a you know, cable news network show where you have Galad, the Eternal Warrior, debating with this senator over, you know, Unity's actions and its role in the global, you know, or political landscape.
Okay.
So it was really good seeing, you know, the debate. It's a debate that you could see actually happening, and seeing how the, you know, battle took place between the two teams, and it tied up things, you know, maybe a little bit neatly, but it was still was really enjoyable issue to close up this short arc. And the other two books, 2 weeks ago, Valiant came out with Ivar Timewalker.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the third brother. You have Armstrong and Galad, and now we have Ivar, who's the one that can. He himself, like, he doesn't have abilities to time travel, but he has this map to see where all these different, you know, portals or openings are going to be where you can travel through time. And he explains it as, you know, these things open all the time, and that's where, so like, your lost keys mm-hmm. happen to be in a spot where one of these portals opens up, and he knows how to find them and how to, you know, traverse through this. So it starts off with him approaching this scientist, this physicist, saying that she has to come with him. She's in danger because she's about to discover time travel, and people are after her because of it. And she doesn't quite believe him or believe what's going on. He proves it to her and eventually, you know, gets her to come with him. And they're going through these different time periods. And the book almost had a feeling of this morally gray Doctor Who
mm-hmm.
with a companion. So it was a fun book. Throughout his trips through time in the book, he goes through, I think, four or five different time periods. You see it tie into a old naval battle, and you actually see Galad on the ship. It doesn't come out and say it's him, but you see him with the three scars across his face as one of the officers on the ship. And then it jumps forward to 4000 AD, which is Rai's universe, and ties in with Rai.
Oh, okay. See, I missed that.
Yeah, so it was kind of good to see it connect with different parts of the Valiant universe. And they've been doing a great job of that recently with their books, is bringing all these areas together. They did it with the end of Unity, tying in other team members with the Valiant. You saw at the end where they're talking about bringing in other people to help combat that threat. And now with the new Valiant launches, Empyrean come out today, and it's really, they're doing a good job of building this universe together. But the book had a nice twist at the end where you see things aren't exactly as they seem, where, you know, he may not be helping out the scientist in the way that you think, where you see a very, you know, futuristic version of her where she's kind of cybernetic, saying that, you know, they have to stop him. So it definitely had a nice hook too.
Yep.
For the next issue. You said you liked it?
I did, Colin. I thought it was fun.
The Valiant number 2.
Yep, I liked
came
that
out.
Too.
So that was good. That was a very action-packed book. You have the Geomancer being, you know, confronted by
and it was like goes back to into her dreams as a child. And
yeah, so the villain in the book, he takes this form, like this creepy-looking guy, and through flashbacks in the previous issue and through other issues of Archer and Armstrong and Eternal Warrior, you see him almost like a monster. So you're not really sure why he's just this creepy-looking guy in a suit. And it's flashing between this children's story that I think it said her father told her when she was a kid that scared her, and her current confrontation with him. And you find out that he finds out what your fears are and takes that form or projects that.
Yeah, and that was so really bad for Ninjak.
Yeah, so that's what his form came from that that children's story. But it really started moving all the pieces in place with having Ninjak and Eternal Warrior coming to try and stop him and getting in the battle, seeing that he's more of a threat than they can take on. Bloodshot gets involved to be the main protector of the Geomancer, where the Eternal Warrior has failed throughout history, and sets up for bringing in more characters from the Valiant Universe. So it was just a really well-paced, again, fun book. I'm curious to see where it's going to lead next. It's only a 4-issue.
Right, we're already halfway through, yeah.
And it's definitely setting up for these Valiant Next books, where it looks like Bloodshot Reborn isn't a spin out of it, and Ninjak's a spin out of it, because right now Jeff Lemire and Matt Kinn are writing it, and Jeff Lemire's going to be writing Bloodshot Reborn, and Matt Kinn's going to be writing Ninjak. So I'm curious to see how they are. I'll be adding those to my list.
Cool.
That's it for me.
Okay. I have a couple of Dying in the Dead was a new Hickman book. And basically, there's these two ancient societies, and there was something one of them wanted, I forget, it had like a Middle Eastern type name, and that they got a hold of it. And all of a sudden, it switches to they're recruiting this old man who's sitting in his wife's deathbed and basically say, you need to come with us. And he goes on this ride, and he goes to meet this other ancient society. And turns out, like, he had some former connection with them, but you don't quite understand why. Like, he's talking to this one woman, and he's talking about her predecessor and asking how she got her job and stuff. So he obviously, in his youth, knew something about the society, even though they're very special. It's like in the middle of the desert. They go into this little church and then, like, go down and start walking down this long, long, long stairs. And then it's this huge underground world. The art was fantastic. And basically, he's recruited to try to go get this thing back. And if he gets it back, they'll save his wife's life. And he kind of goes, okay. So it ends with him taking the job. But it was really good. A huge, I think it was 70 pages. It was enormous. 450, just a really good book. It's Hickman, so you know you're getting a big story. Which is good, because I like him on his own stuff. Not so much on Avengers. So that was good. New Avengers 29 disappointed me only in the sense that I haven't read New Avengers in a while, and when I picked it up, they're still talking about Earths colliding with one another, which I realize is that's where everything's headed, but that's been going on since issue one, and yeah. It's like, wow, we're all the way up to 29 and still doing the same thing.
That's what's leading to Battleworld.
Yeah, and at the very end, they introduced the Beyonders, who are more just alien and not so much a guy in a white jumpsuit and Jerry Curl. So
I don't get that either.
I don't either. And then Thor 4, which kind of is interesting. That was his first meeting with Thor.
Thor meets Thor?
Thor meets Thor, and it went very well. And, at first they fought, and then at the end, Thor is very accepting of her. He doesn't know who she is. She seems familiar. It's not his mom. Even he thought it was his mom. So
it's Darcy.
But yeah, basically he's like, she can have the hammer for a while, because she's clearly worthy. Because the hammer did some stuff at one point that never done for him. Like went through different. Like instead of just going out and back, it went out and attacked several foes before coming back to her. And it was very funny because he reached his hand out to catch it, and it bounced off it. It like hit him and then went to her, and he's like, whoa. So, but that was good.
He threw it high up, and it went through the builders in Infinity.
Yeah, but that was like it went around the Earth and came back to him. Or, he threw it as it came back.
It just flew around hitting people?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was taking out these frost giants. It took out a bunch of them in this room.
Like random villains.
No, but they were in this room and it took them out. No.
Bam, hammer.
She put points in the boomerang option.
Yeah, but it was good, but it was interesting. So this was four, so basically the first story arc went 4 issues. So what are they going to do with the trade?
Easy horror for them.
And then we had Uncanny Avengers, which was interesting, but I don't... It's dealing with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver trying to find somebody, and Vision is helping them.
They're dead.
They go to Counter-Earth, which is another Earth created by the High Evolutionary, but it's on the other side of the sun. Kind of like New Krypton was in DC.
Yeah.
So, and it was like all these people there that are like half-animal, half-human hybrids. And just really, it was Remender being really weird, but part of your head is going, but this isn't going to matter because this is going to be over in 6 issues. So, not bad. It was okay. So, that's really all I have.
So, what comes out next week, Colin?
Hey,
Amazing Spider-Man 14, the end of Spider-Verse.
Dun, dun, dun. Finally.
Spider-Verse ended before it started.
You were loving it. What are you talking about? We got Darth Vader number one.
He's the best example because he was super excited.
He was. Before. He was. Yeah. And then he's lost his excitement. You have the DC Bombshells Hawkgirl statue. People have been waiting for that. Disney Frozen adaptation number one. Not from Marvel. Don't get it. Divinity number one, which is another Image. Yeah. Or Valiant one.
It's a mini series. So I'm not sure if I'm going to buy it next week or
yeah,
wait for it
I
to
think
be
you're
going to
get it next week.
Depends on how much other stuff get in.
Okay.
No, you're getting it.
Yeah, it's a four
part. Probably going to get it.
Empty number one. I'm not sure what it is, but it's an Image book.
It's just blank pages.
Could be. Could be. Guardians of the Galaxy tying into the Black Vortex. Harley Quinn Valentine's Day special. Help Us Great Warrior. I'm not sure what it is, but I have 10 of them coming.
You're our only hope.
You are our only hope. Justice League 3000. Fan of the podcast.
They like the podcast?
They
That's
do.
That's awesome.
Wow. Legendary Red Sonja number one. Mortal Kombat.
You're a fan of the podcast?
Yeah. Well, podcasts are a fan of the book. How about that? Okay. Mortal Kombat 2. I sold out of number one ridiculously fast. Princeless has a new version. Pirate Princess coming out. Rye number seven. I know you like Rye. A lot of other people.
I didn't
really
like it when
things.
I was a kid, but as I got older, I really started to enjoy Rye.
Okay. Secret Six number two. We've been waiting for this one. It should have shipped in January, so it's a little bit late. What?
I said he's tired.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Southern Bastards, number seven.
That has been a while for Secret
yeah. Spider-Woman, number four, also tying in with Spider-Verse. Thor, number five. Wow, that just... Okay, that's quick. Trees, volume one. That's one I want to read because it's Ellis, and I read the first one and didn't keep up with it. And then Walking Dead, number 137. So we got a lot of stuff. Of course, a lot more. I'm just kind of highlighting
the big ones.
The big ones are the new ones. X-Force. Okay. X, you stopped getting that, didn't you?
Oh, that's one that I forgot to mention. X-Factor. Came to an end two weeks ago.
Yeah. Outstanding. Brilliant.
I liked it a lot. I really liked the X-Factor run. It went 20 issues. It looks like from...
Which is a long time for a Marvel book.
From what Peter David wrote at the beginning of the issue, it looks like that book is going to be coming back in some capacity. And it sounds like
the
he's going to be...
new number one?
He's going to be on it somehow, okay. But... It ends with you finding out that the CEO of Servo Industries, Harrison Snow, is actually from 2099. And he came back in time.
So that's leading into his 2099 battle or whatever, because they just announced they're canceling Spider-Man
2099. Yeah, something. He came back in time
Secret
to...
Secret War 2099 or something like that.
To try and take down Alchemax.
Okay.
So it was good. It was a good okay. end. I really enjoyed that run. It's the only X book that I like because it was completely separate from the X-Men.
Cool. Okay. Well, somebody wandered away. So, Pat?
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows cause that's how we get down. Up in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducky pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets to
Ricky Bobby drinks the only ice that I rock with. The mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, dressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman.